KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Fallout from those photos showing Iraqi prisoners apparently being mistreated by American military personnel. NBC's Jim Mikliszewski at the Pentagon says seven soldiers are being reprimanded and others are facing legal action.
Six soldiers face possible court-martial. But there are several investigations underway to determine if that prisoner abuse in Iraq is more widespread.
President Bush has told the Pentagon he wants to be sure the U.S. soldiers who took part in what he calls shameful and appalling acts are punished. Former hostage Thomas Hamel is being treated at a military hospital in Germany after escaping from his captors in Iraq. The U.S. civilian contractor managed to run to a passing American convoy. He suffered a gunshot wound when he was taken prisoner last month, but his wife says he's doing fine. Democratic presidential contender John Kerry is opening his campaign bank book to the tune of $25 million. He's buying ads highlighting his military record. I'm Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Can the right brakes make you faster? In 1953, it was their revolutionary new braking system that allowed Jaguar to dominate Le Mans. Better brakes meant drivers could attack the straightaways with far more ferocity, a lesson well remembered to this day. The new 2005 Jaguar S-Type R, born with race-inspired Brembo brakes, lives for faster laps. Jaguar, born to perform.
NBC Tonight, another Fear Factor first. Yeah! Second Chance Fear Factor. The most famous losers are back.
That girl is an animal!
But this time, someone's actually gonna win. Then, the amazing conclusion of the NBC miniseries event, 10.5.
Help is on the way.
Another earthquake could destroy the West Coast. Be there when the big one hits. The conclusion of 10.5 after Second Chance Fear Factor, NBC Tonight.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Sunny, 75 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The CU investigative panel meets again tomorrow. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Freeway traffic moving along in good shape as we hit the large portion of the rush hour here. No accidents or stalls to get in your way if you have a lunch hour appointment right now. Three cars and a light pole involved in an accident, 13th and Corona. Another minor collision at 12th and Josephine. Vehicle overturned in the intersection at Evans and Cook Street there by DU. Watch for a lot of emergency equipment there. Broadway and Littleton Boulevard, another injury accident, should be cleaned up and out of the way in another 5 or 10 minutes. Nobody knows Alaska like Alaska Airlines. Alaska Airlines offers the most service to Anchorage on June 6th that will add daily nonstops from Denver. Go to alaskaair.com. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Lisa Simpson's mother and stepfather will testify tomorrow before the independent panel investigating the recruiting scandal at the University of Colorado. Simpson filed a lawsuit against the school claiming she'd been raped by CU players and recruits at a 2001 recruiting party at her apartment. This report brought to you by Quest Choice Business. The CSAP scores for third grade reading are released before all others, and as usual, there's a blend of good and bad news. According to this year's stats, 74% of those tested achieved proficient or advanced scores. However, Education Department Vice Chair Randy Dehoff says there is a downside to those numbers.
We still have over 25% of our third graders that are not proficient. Put in numbers, that means 14,000 students around Colorado entering fourth grade or about to enter fourth grade who are not reading at a third or fourth grade level.
A state school member says the demographic that had the toughest time with the tests were impoverished Hispanic students. Cinco de Mayo festivities in Denver were relatively calm over the weekend, except for one shooting last night. Someone fired a shot about 9:30 last night, hitting someone in the ankle. The victim told police that someone driving on Federal shot from their car as they cruised the street. The victim gave police a description of the vehicle, but police couldn't locate that suspect. Police say this was the worst thing to happen during the weekend's partying. The Denver Urban Renewal Authority says it wants to sell another $275 million in bonds to get the next phase of the Stapleton redevelopment project going. Denver City Councilwoman Jean Fatt says the bond sale could still leave Denver's taxpayers stuck paying for the cost of city services, at least temporarily. Dora says that if the city will delay taking its cut of the tax revenue from the Stapleton project until after investors have taken theirs, the bonds will be more attractive to investors. However, Fatt says the revenue projections could fall short of what would be needed, leaving the city city and thus the taxpayers holding the bag to pay for at least part of the project. City Council expected to vote on that issue this month. In sports, Colorado Avalanche will try to even things up with the San Jose Sharks tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. Avs have won two in a row now. Series now tied at 3-2 in favor of San Jose. Colorado Rockies have the day off today before they head off to Montreal to face the Expos for three games. Over the weekend, Rocks took 2 of 3 from Atlanta, including yesterday's 13-4 hammering of the Braves. Quest Choice Business, your business line, plus any five features for just $39.99 a month. More than 100,000 small businesses have already signed up for Quest Choice Business, shouldn't you? Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
AM 1150 KNRC, the way Denver spells talk radio. KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. I'm joined by Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, a registered investment advisor. Willis, many people I've met are completely invested in stocks, more than they should be, and they don't even know it. Has this been your experience?
Doug, many people do take on more risk for their situation, and it's not wise. Here's a simple rule to help you. Subtract your age from 100. The number remaining is generally the amount you should have at risk. So if you're 55, you should have 45 at risk and 55 safe.
Okay, so how do you tell if what you have is safe or risky?
Well, like I said, a lot of people are in things that are too risky for my kids, let alone someone near retirement. If you give me a call, I can show you how much risk you are taking and whether or not you are on the right track.
Now, that sounds like a good idea. The number at Integra Financial is 303-220-5525, 303-220-5525.
Integra Financial, a registered investment advisor, helping people make good financial decisions since 1989.
Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Some warm weather for the next few days, way above our average of 66, getting up to 79 today with lots of sunshine. Clear skies down near 50 for tonight. Sunshine tomorrow and Wednesday, high of 82 for tomorrow. Wednesday's high, 85. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
75 degrees under sunny skies. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're going to be joined by Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. And she'll be joining us, I believe, in the 2 o'clock hour today. And that's a subject that is near and dear to my heart because this is a very tight election. And I'm concerned that the Democrats don't have enough of a fix on how the election can be hijacked because of the voting machine situation, Diebold specifically. Bev Harris is the go-to person on this whole topic. Vanity Fair quoted her extensively in a piece in the April issue, and I'm seeing her name crop up in mainstream media as they're beginning to look at the issue, but I hope it's not too late. We'll be talking with her in the 2 o'clock hour. Let me open up the lines, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150 is the number. There's a lot going on, and I want to just sort of review the weekend. I appeared in Vagina Monologues on Saturday night, and first of all, thank you. Many of you, it was great. I got a lot of... I wasn't that hot in it, but it was a non-actor performance, and some people were very, very good. And let me just tell you, there was a big difference in the quality of the performance from the rehearsal, which was that afternoon. That was the first time we had ever even all gotten together and had done a run-through to the performance that evening. The house was wildly sold out. It was a great event. The writing is so good in Vagina Monologues that it really kind of carried us. It was just wonderful in every way. So thank you to all of you. Thank you to John Ashton at the Avenue Theater. Thanks to all of you who appeared. When I got up to say my part, there was wonderful applause and so people in advance. That was great. And I was the last person up. I mean, it was a show that you really, and I didn't have all that much to say, thank goodness. But anyway, that's what was going on. We're going to be giving away pairs of tickets today to the Gary Hart Lecture at the Hudson Gardens, and that's tomorrow night, and I'm going to be introducing his speech. Former U.S. Senator from Colorado and co-chair of the U.S. Commission on National Security for the 21st Century, Gary Hart will be speaking tomorrow at Hudson Gardens, 7:30 p.m. The tickets are not terribly costly, so, and if you don't win a pair of tickets, you'll be able to go at $6. It's less than most movies cost, I think. And that's tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., Hudson Gardens, and I will be introducing him before a speech. Remember, he's the guy who warned Condoleezza Rice, who with Warren Rudman wrote a bipartisan report on that really predicted 9/11. This was, I think the administration got the report about at least 9 months. Just as soon as they took office, they had that report, which they promptly shelved. And Gary Hart and Warren Rudman have also written a follow-up on how you can, the follow-up after 9/11, to how you can make the United States safer. I doubt that much has been implemented by this administration. The last time I checked, almost nothing. Tomorrow, we are going to be joined by Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, which is a wildly successful show on Pacifica Radio. And we'll be talking with one of my old friends, John Head, who has a PhD in barbecue later this week. And we'll also be talking to John Dean, who's going to be our guest. And that's later in the month. So we have lots of great things planned for you. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. One of the things that emerges from over the weekend that I was just amazed about is that buried in the Saturday Rocky Mountain News was a story of how the James Turney is going to... Oh, I have to correct it. It's at 7 o'clock is the Hudson Gardens speech, not at 7:30. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, not at 7:30. Okay. One of the things that was buried in the paper over the weekend was the whole business about James Turney and all these cops meeting with Mayor Hickenlooper. Now, I am just amazed that it was the story that got buried. What can happen is that the attorney is appealing, and his 1 in 3 when they appeal their decisions, and James Turney is the officer we're talking about here at the moment. He is the officer who shot Paul Childs dead. It's the second black developmentally disabled teenager that he has shot dead. He threatened his mother-in-law, his ex-mother-in-law, the night before he shot Paul Childs, threatened to shoot her too. I mean, this guy is an embarrassment to the Denver Police Department. But apparently his fellow cops don't think so, because they've been protesting, and they've been protesting in front of Hickenlooper's office, calling him Chicken Looper, which is really guaranteed to get what they want, right? Anyway, Turney is going to appeal his sentence, which is 10 months of suspension, no pay, can't carry a gun, but presumably after the 10 months, he will still have his job. Well, he wants money. He wants to be back out on the street. They've told him that when he comes back after 10 months, he won't be back out on the street again. He wants to be back out on the street. And apparently, if you appeal, one out of every 3 Denver police officers who appealed a disciplinary action to the City Civil Service Commission in the last 5 years received lighter punishments. And this is according to city records. So, here you have Turney meeting with the mayor. He wants, here you have the police meeting with the mayor, protesting the decision to suspend Turney for 10 months. And here is the way the story plays out, and it's buried on about page 8 of the Saturday Rocky Mountain News, where Saturdays, if you want nobody to read something, put it in Saturday's paper or bury it. Bury it even deep in Saturday's paper. A contentious meeting Friday between Mayor John Hickenlooper and hundreds of police officers about the suspension of Officer James Turney ended with angry officers and, quote, an emotionally bruised mayor. I'm going to go home and take a hot bath. I feel pretty bruised, Hickenlooper said. After the hour-and-a-half closed meeting held in the police union building, I didn't expect to get an ovation. Police union leaders called for the meeting last week after Manager of Safety Al LaCabe announced a 10-month suspension without pay for Turney. In his decision letter, LaCabe said that while Turney was justified under the department's use of force policy to shoot Paul Childs once the developmentally disabled teen was standing 6 or 7 feet from him with a knife, Turney committed tactical errors that put him in that position. He put himself in harm's way, in other words, and he could have removed himself from harm's way, and there were tasers along with them. He didn't have to shoot someone dead. And he had had some association with that child, so the child was not unknown to him. Angry officers started leaving Friday's meeting about 45 minutes after it started, some saying they were frustrated with the lack of answers from the mayor. Melinda Carney, who joined the force last year, said she was frustrated with the lack of answers from the mayor. They aren't answering questions because of pending litigation. She said, I don't want to have to choose between my life and my job. I'm leaving the meeting because I've had enough. The child's family has put the city on notice it plans to file a lawsuit seeking at least $5 million. Officer Ray Sandoval said that LaCabe's decision sent a confusing message to officers and did little to explain what should have been done differently. I mean, do these police officers suffering from a lack of common sense, some of them? I just want to know what was wrong with what Turney did. Now, here's what Sandoval says. Now, he's a police officer, and I want you to listen to what he says. I'll tell you one thing. If someone is stupid enough to pull a knife on me, I'll kill them. Sandoval says this. I'm going to repeat it. I'll tell you one thing. If someone is stupid enough to pull a knife on me, I'll kill them. Really? Really? You're going to shoot them dead? Is that really true? Is there no other way to handle a situation? Really? I mean, should this guy remain on the police force? Is this the mentality we're dealing with on the police force? Chief Jerry Whitman attended the meeting, but not as a speaker. After the meeting, the chief said the officers seemed well organized and asked prepared questions of LaCabe and the mayor. Hickenlooper said there was a lot of communication. They weren't very happy with me, and they weren't very happy with Al LaCabe, but we will work through this, he said. Hickenlooper said the officers also talked about the need for new equipment and more officers on the street. We have to back our officers, he said, but I also want to make sure we have a high level of accountability. I would like your responses on this. 303-382-1150. Here you have a police officer quoted in the paper by the name of Ray Sandoval. And Ray Sandoval says, he says, I'll tell you one thing. If someone is stupid enough to pull a knife on me, I'll kill them. Really? Officer Ray Sandoval, that's the only response? How many good officers do we have when somebody gets all exercised and excited and bent out of shape or goes crazy on meds or goes crazy on drugs or just goes crazy? Those cops can talk them down. Now, I have met some of Denver's finest, and they have been very fine to me, personally on a one-on-one level. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm in the media. Maybe that's it. But they have been very, very nice to me, so I don't want to condemn everybody. But I will say that there is a culture here, apparently, if we're looking at what is emerging from this discussion in the police department, that is thuggish and uncomprehending and absolutely not what you want in a high-functioning police department. And this has been, in the past, a more troubled police department than it is now. So I would like, when you have a police officer saying, I'll tell you one thing, if someone is stupid enough to pull a knife on me, I will kill them. Really? Is that the only way that we can, is that the only response? Can you disarm them? Can you talk them down? Can you taser them? Or do you just go to the final solution and you shoot them dead? 303-382-1150. And is this symptomatic of the mentality of the Denver Police Department? Is this what you want for a city like Denver? You want this kind of thug mentality? Is my question. 303-382-1150.
Oh, if you pull a knife on me, I'm going to shoot him dead.
Well, you know, you can walk away. You don't have to shoot him dead. You can walk away. You can disarm him. You can taser him. You can talk him out of the idea. It's not a good idea. You know, it's not a good idea to do this. Mike, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I just had a quick comment. I completely agree with you. I was trying to figure out why we can't, if you had to, shoot a guy in the leg. You know, I mean, wouldn't that stop?
Because that has always been my question, and what I get this from other jurisdictions as well, is they're not trained to do it. It's an all or nothing deal. They go for shooting you dead, not in the leg.
I do have a part two to this question, though. It kind of contradicts me, I think. But where's the accountability with the family? I mean, they kind of really put all the impetus, I guess you can say, on the police forces in this community. to basically raise their son. I just feel like, you know, with...
I don't think that they put the impetus on the police force to raise their son. I think that's a vast overstatement, Mike. I think that they got into trouble with a kid who was developmentally disabled and they didn't know how to handle it. And when they got into trouble, they called 911 and cops would come out and they handled it. And the kid seemed to be able, he seemed to look up to cops and that seemed to do the job. And they got into the habit of doing it and 911 got into the habit of responding is the way it sounds to me. And this cop, Turney, has had actually had experience with Paul Child, so he knew what he was dealing with.
I understand, right. I just, you know,
and you could ask yourself, maybe there aren't enough programs available for kids who are in Paul Child's circumstance, and what do you do?
I certainly agree. I thought the Denver Post had printed some, you know, 100 or so phone calls over a couple of years. Maybe the city should have stepped in a heck of a lot sooner.
Well, I don't know, but the Denver Post believes that Turney ought to lose his job, that he should not remain on the force. They have said that in more than one editorial.
And I agree. I lived downtown for 4 years, and thank goodness I moved out, and I just felt like the cops kind of cherry-picked what they wanted to get themselves into. And
well, I'm curious that whenever you get somebody on a jaywalking bus, six cruisers swoop down to arrest the guilty party. All right, I thank you for the call, Mike. 303-382-1150. If you're a member of the Denver Police Department, call in anonymously. If you think I'm wrong about this, I'd like to hear your views. Preston, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
I'm thrilled that you're going to be speaking with Amy Goodman. Thank you so much.
That's tomorrow.
Okay. Regarding the child shooting, I'm surprised that the police officer isn't being isn't in jail for the threat towards his mother-in-law.
They managed to get that one knocked down to something because if you've got that on your record, there are consequences that follow for you. I don't think you can carry a gun. I forget now what they are, but they're very serious. So some way or shape or form, they got that knocked down.
Yeah.
But it really goes to state of mind, don't you think?
Yes, it does. And I think he took that right into his encounter with Paul. And you know,
that's right. Whatever he was, and it was, I think it was on City Time, too, that he had this extended conversation with his mother-in-law in which he apparently threatened her, the ex-mother-in-law. And then however agitated he was, the next day, that's it. He shoots Paul Child's dead. What do you call it, projection or transference, or what do you call it in psychological terms?
Yeah, one of those, definitely. And I think it's also a projection of what we see going on with the military. The Powell Doctrine in our military affairs emphasizes troop protection and overwhelming force.
Well, look, and you can see what a perky effect that's had in Iraq.
That's right. And even in this country, I think Jerome Davis, our own Prell, had an interview with a person who talked about shootings going on across this country on a regular basis of unarmed people, or people who might have a knife who may have been handled differently. And I think it's a growing problem. And I think our police forces are becoming more militarized. In fact, they're getting training at some of our military colleges.
Well, I would like to ask the larger question. And, Preston, I thank you for the call. It's hard to hear you on that cell, but thanks for calling. I would like to ask the larger question. This trend that we're doing, and you can see it in every aspect of American life, it isn't only in the police departments. It's conservatism, for example, a conservative kind of shift in thinking is a kind of hard-edged, tight-lipped, nasty, angry response. It goes in line with what we're seeing in terms of might makes right, this kind of force, whether it's the military or whatever's going on in Iraq or whether it's our police departments. There's something that's happening. There's a shift in this country to that kind of a button down kind of nasty, you will do what I say mentality. Anybody want to comment on that? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
How about 15% off a case of wine? Sounds like an irresistible deal, doesn't it? Brenda Francis here to tell you that Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits now offers you another great way to save money. Mondays only, we offer 15% off a mix and match case of wine. You only need to purchase 12 bottles of wine to qualify. Sale wines count towards the 12 but don't receive the discount. You receive 15% off and enjoy sale prices too. Now there is no reason to purchase wine at full price ever again. Enjoy the Mondays only 15% off on 12 bottles, 24 bottles, or 144 bottles of wine. Sign up for our email newsletter at GoldenTriangleWines.com or ask for a hard copy of our newsletter for information about sale items, feature items, and special purchases. Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, southwest corner of 12th and Broadway, in the old Metropolitan Antiques Building, 303-893-8437. That's 303-893-8437. On the web at goldentrianglewines.com.
Leadership. Bring it into your life right now from the people who define leadership in America today. KNRC and the Tom Peters Company present the Leadership Challenge Workshop, Tuesday, May 18th from 8 to 4 at the Denver Marriott Southeast. It's inspirational. It's interactive. It's proactive. Go online to denverleaders.com now to learn more and register. Special prices and group rates are available. Log on to denverleaders.com or call 303-527-0607. That's 527-0607. The Leadership Challenge Workshop, a special one-day seminar sponsored by the Denver Business Journal, First National Bank of Colorado, EKSNH Accounting Firm, and presented by the Tom Peters Company and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. On Wall Street, stocks are higher at this hour. The Dow is up 76 points, the NASDAQ up 21. Frank Quattrone has been found guilty on all counts in his retrial. The former head of investment banking at Credit Suisse First Boston was convicted of obstruction of justice and witness tampering. That for telling employees at CSFB in an email to clean up their files as a federal probe was taking place. New reports on the economy show factories slowed their pace of expansion in output last month, but that construction spending in March surged to a record high. You may not have heard the word Sasser until now, but the fast-spreading computer worm may have already infected your PC. The virus can strike even if no one is using the computer at the time. It causes error messages and frequent rebooting. Finally, wouldn't you be upset to be fined $800,000? Bill Gates can probably handle it. The Microsoft chairman agreed to pay that amount for violating federal investment rules. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
How do you help keep healthcare affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this is a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of health care. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
NBC Tonight, another Fear Factor first. Yeah! Second Chance Fear Factor. The most famous losers are back.
That girl is an animal!
But this time, someone's actually gonna win. Then, the amazing conclusion of the NBC miniseries event, 10.5.
Help is on the way.
Another earthquake could destroy the West Coast. Be there when the big one hits. The conclusion of 10.5 after Second Chance Fear Factor, NBC Tonight.
We know how important traffic is to you. We've got Lalani Larson mornings and Steve Smith afternoons to get you through that rush hour traffic. Keep it here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1229 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Excuse me. In Hour 2, Bev Harris, who is the author of Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 21st Century, and is really the authority on e-voting, is going to be our guest. And a lot of people have interviewed her extensively, and lately I'm very concerned because in a very tight election year where you have the reds and blues practically split evenly and where the tilt might go to John Kerry, that the election could be hijacked by these e-voting systems. The man who heads up Diebold is a Bush pioneer. He says he's committed to bringing in the election for Bush. We know because Johns Hopkins University in the state of Maryland and other institutions have done research on e-voting that Diebold's case, in any event, the software is highly problematic. You can go in and hack it and hack the vote tallies without leaving any fingerprints whatsoever. And the mainstream press is finally beginning to awaken to this issue. And Bev Harris is the go-to person on it. She'll be joining us. Also, I'm going to be giving away three pairs of tickets today throughout the show, one an hour, to the Gary Hart Lecture tomorrow at Hudson Gardens. And that's at 7 p.m. at Hudson Gardens. Former U.S. Senator Gary Hart, who with Warren Rudman did a study of that really predicted terrorism and gave it to the Bush administration when the Bush administration took office, and they did almost nothing with it. They did nothing with it. In fact, he warned Condoleezza Rice a couple of times. He looks really prescient now. 303-382-1150. He looks really prescient now. And he's going to be talking at Hudson Gardens. The tickets are $12. And I'm going to tell you what, let's do it right now. Be the fifth caller, 303-382-1150, and we will give you one pair of tickets to Gary Hart's speech tomorrow night at Hudson Gardens. 303-382-1150. You get a pair of tickets to the Gary Hart Lecture at Hudson Gardens, and it's scheduled for 7 p.m., and I will be introducing Gary Hart. 303-382-1150. I think we're getting close to a winner. Be the next caller, and I think you're going to win it. 303-382-1150. Ah, I think we have a winner. There we go. Okay. Richard calling on a pay phone. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. How are you?
Good, Richard.
Okay, we have these two incidences with Officer Tony, but it's the third one that really gets me. How could he threaten his mother-in-law, threaten to shoot her, and still, not be under arrest?
I don't know. She's in another state, and I don't know how they got that knocked down, because threatening to shoot somebody is a serious offense.
And particularly is, because I know about it, because I threatened someone after being slandered and insulted and having my own family threatened. But, of course, this person I threatened was a close personal friend of certain members of the Aurora Police Department. So I was arrested, taken into a kangaroo court, where the prosecutor was my antagonist that was at fault, and they destroyed evidence, threw me in jail for 90 days, and put me on 3 years probation. I'm now off probation 5 years ago.
Are you a police officer, or were you?
No, I'm not, but I was brutalized by police officers. Let me tell you, when I was arrested, one of the cops, the Aurora cops, was drunk. 10 o'clock in the morning, and a bum is drunk.
How do you know he's drunk?
Because he walked up to me after I was handcuffed with a cigarette dangling from his mouth, and the stench of alcohol on him was overwhelming. And this is the kind of filth that's put out in the street. And so it's not just Denver. I mean, you got to follow with the Denver police, but in Aurora, you got to follow with that entire fascist government. They took a working man, a family man, and brutalized me, terrorized my family, and threw me in jail.
How long ago, Richard, how long ago was this?
It'll be 5 years, the 11th of this month.
And you're okay now?
I'm still very upset that I live in a country supposed to be the United States, where my rights as an American citizen were severely violated by a fascist government, and I was brutalized by that government. And I'm still ticked off. But, of course, I don't threaten people. And that was way out of character for me because I am a loving and friendly person. And I had gone to anger management, and even the people at anger management couldn't believe that I was in their class.
You hardly had enough anger to show up to anger management.
Huh?
Well, I'm. You know what?
And when I was in the jail, I even had the jailer, a sergeant, and a counselor there go, "We don't even know why you're here. Why are you here? You don't belong here."
All right, so Richard, your point is about Turney.
My point is about Turney is that if a citizen, an American citizen, working class person like me can be thrown into jail for saying to a man, "I'm going to bust your head with a baseball bat for saying that," then this bum should be thrown in jail for threatening to kill his mother-in-law.
All right, we're going to leave it there, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Bean in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, I will agree with you on getting rid of Bush and Cheney and stuff, but on your Turney deal, you're all wrong.
I am? Why?
Well, the country's run on a rule of law and not run on morals. And Turney legally didn't do anything wrong.
Well, that's because the bar is set so low, but I think he did something
wrong. Well, yeah, but you've got to change the laws before you can take and punish people.
Are you a first-time caller, B?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got something.
See, I remember clear. I'm old enough. I remember in 1958, a police officer took and made a call to a theater downtown to take somebody out that was rowdy and noisy. And that police officer wound up getting stabbed and killed. And anybody that's got a knife...
Yeah, but this is a different situation. There were tasers, there were other cops. Turney put himself in harm's way. He knew the kid. He knew the situation with the kid. It wasn't something that just popped up on him. And he had threatened his ex-mother-in-law the night before. Bean, I disagree with you on this one, I'm afraid, and I thank you. 303-382-1150. I want to congratulate Travis Castle Rock for winning two tickets to hear Gary Hart at Hudson Gardens tomorrow at 7 o'clock. I'll be introducing him, and we have two more pairs of tickets to give away. So we're going to do it in each hour. We've given our pair away in this hour. We'll be giving another pair away in the second hour and in the third hour. A third pair away for tomorrow night's speech by Gary Hart. I think it should be, you know, I've heard him talk. He's very interesting. So I urge you to go. If you don't win tickets, it's $6 per ticket, $6 a piece to get in. You will get more out of it than you will going to a movie. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny and 75 degrees. Some CSAF scores are out. I'll have that story in a moment. First, though, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Accident on the ramp from westbound I-72 Federal Boulevard starting to cause some problems there. It's an injury accident, so a lot of emergency equipment on the scene there. Denver police also trying to pull some wire out of the lane of traffic. Westbound I-70 between Brighton Boulevard and Washington Street. That's supposed to be blocking the inside lane, the fast lane. Everything else around town moving along in fairly decent shape, all things considered. No accidents on the surface streets. Fire equipment ready, responding to Highway 119 and County Road 3.5. That's up in Daytona. That's supposed to be a grass fire there. This Mother's Day, give your mother more than just a Mother's Day gift. Name Star after her. Call the International Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
CSAP scores for third grade reading were released today with a mix of good and bad news. 74% of those tested got proficient or advanced scores, but the percent that aren't proficient means there are 14,000 students who are going on to fourth grade but aren't reading at a fourth grade level. This report brought to you by Chevron. Volunteers are working to gather 34,000 signatures to get RTD's fast tracks on the November ballot. If voters approve the light rail expansion project, the $4.7 billion plan would be funded with a sales tax increase that would add 4 cents to every $10 of merchandise sold. A police shooting in Englewood yesterday has left a 36-year-old man in serious condition. The first officer on the scene says he found Andrew Montoya in the garage of his home hitting his 7-year-old son. The officer got between the boy and his father, but police say Montoya didn't follow the orders given by the officer, lunged at the officer, who shot Montoya once in the chest. Police say the man had been drinking. To help your car perform like it should, keep it clean. Where where it counts, in its engine. And no gasoline is better at helping keep vital engine parts clean than Chevron with Techron. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Was important to me.
You can rely on us at Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm a single mom and I've always got somewhere to go.
No matter where you are.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. When I take the kids to school.
When it's important to you.
News is important to me.
Rely on Denver's AM 1150.
That's what's important to me.
KNRC.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Hi, this is Jimmy Lakey, and I'd like to tell you about Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Colorado. Nationally, they're celebrating their 100th year of service, and you can help them celebrate by making a difference. You can support Big Brothers and Big Sisters in many ways. For instance, did you know that by donating your car, you can help provide one-to-one mentoring for over 4,000 of Colorado's kids in need? These kids really need your help, and it's easy to do. Your car or truck is a great tax deduction, and Big Brothers and Big Sisters will tow your vehicle at no expense to you. Even if your car or truck can't be driven, the salvage value makes a huge difference. If you don't have a car to donate, cash is also welcome with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. They also accept most boats, RVs, trailers, and motorcycles. Big Brothers and Big Sisters has touched many people in Colorado and across the nation, and possibly someone you know personally. So join the celebration. Donate today. Call them at 303-433-3666 and tell them Jimmy Lakey told you to call. 303-433-3666. Celebrate 100 years of service. Support Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Colorado.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, mostly sunny today, clear skies tonight with the overnight temperature down near 50, lots of sunshine tomorrow again, high temperature up into the mid-80s possibly. Sunny and 75 now, KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Is your patio furniture up to the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's three beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture from O.W. Lee. For three generations, the Lee family has been handcrafting fine wrought iron furniture that is not only beautiful, but built to last a lifetime. Hand-forged by skilled craftsmen with incredible attention to detail and design, O.W. Lee is quite simply the finest wrought iron furniture on the market today. Family owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in wrought iron furniture. Plus, we have the best selection of quality gas barbecue grills in the state at Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton. There's a Lair's near you. For premium wrought iron furniture from O.W. Lee, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland, beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:42 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org, is going to be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. We've been talking about James Turney and the cops who came to visit with Mayor Hickenlooper on Friday, and everybody emerged emotionally bruised from that meeting, apparently. And I just get an email from Josh, says, I think whenever there's an event where one or more officers have to defend themselves and justify their actions, it perpetuates the gang-like mentality of them and their peers. He goes on to say that because a few officers act like bullies toward guilty and innocent citizens alike, people start to feel sour. Then all the other officers get the backlash and find that there's a less positive response to their inquiries and inactions with the community. They talk amongst themselves, and then this is where the gang, tribe, or clan-like mentality begins. It's human nature. To want to belong to a strong group, we see that in everything from gangs to sports to the military and other forms of patriotism. I don't know if you want to agree or disagree with that. I want to also mention this. I ran into somebody at, when I was performing in the Vagina Monologues at the Avenue Theater on Saturday night. They expected that we would sell out the house because, partly the KNRC thing. Well, I think we had something to do with that. So that was great. Thanks to everybody over there. But there were people there involved with the Kerry campaign talking about how the Kerry campaign, has he come even to Colorado yet except to, has he snowboarded maybe in Aspen or someplace? But has he come to Colorado? He doesn't, the New York Times is reporting that he doesn't even have an office in Ohio. Ohio is a huge swing state. Colorado is becoming a swing state. The Sunday New York Times Magazine last week, not this week, but a week ago, had a cover story on the, all the offices and everything that the Republicans have opened up in Ohio. They've got a whole system there that's like multi-level marketing. It's like an Amway deal. It's like an army of people. It's like the mafia. They got capos. They got generals. They got street workers. They got you name it in there. Get going to town because no Republican has ever been elected president without bringing in Ohio. So it's extremely important to them. And Ohio has lost a lot of jobs. And so what they're going to do to get people's minds off of the job loss and the economic bleakness in Ohio is to talk about partial birth abortion and this and that and the other, because these are people who tend to be fundamentalists in those kinds of areas but would tend to vote Democratic in other areas. So they're going to get them on the social issues. The Kerry office, apparently they have not opened one office in Ohio. Let me see if I can find the pull quote. It is just... I'm just amazed here. Oh, here it is. Kerry has not hired a state director or opened a campaign office in Ohio. He hasn't come to Colorado. I don't know what his organization here consists of, but it's not looking great. I wonder if anybody has any observations you want to make about it. Kerry's got to come here. Kerry's got to get some kind of organization going. You can be a great candidate, but if you don't have an organization going to get you elected, you're screwed. That's the end of that. And then I am looking at these pictures that are being printed from Iraq of all the horror and the brutality that we are imposing on some of these Iraqis who are in jail. And to tell you the truth, I can't figure out who's doing what to whom in these pictures. These are like body pileups of orgies or something. I don't know what is going on here exactly, but it's supposed to be very, very grisly. And reports of putting broomsticks in the, you know, the Falima, what was his name in New York, where cops violated him in that way with the broomstick incident. I want to say Abdul Falima, but that's not right. I can't remember his full name, but that's how the cops tortured him in jail. He died, as I recall, and there was a huge settlement, of course. But apparently those are the allegations being made about how we are handling some of those people and all kinds of sexual stuff that we're forcing them into and every kind of humiliation and forms of torture. So that if we start to protest human rights abuses by other countries, look at the ammunition they have, despite the fact that what we are doing, if we're doing it, is morally wrong. I'm thinking about all these books that are coming out now about Bush, Cheney, and none of them have really, some of them look like they were going to deliver the knockout punch. Richard Clark's book for the second or third week in a row is number one on the New York Times bestseller list. But I am wondering whether these pictures are going to be the 1-2 punch or whether what we're doing, how we're treating these Iraqis that we've imprisoned in Iraq is going to be the 1-2 punch. And then set me straight, will you? Weren't we debathifying Iraq? And now we've hired, we have appointed somebody who was a Baathist general to command Fallujah. We're so desperate where it's like, okay, well, we're taking a bath. And so we're bringing the Baathists back. That's what we're going to do here. But you know, I don't get it exactly. Wasn't the point to get Saddam and all of his followers out? And so why are we now turning to his followers to get us out of the jam of Iraq? Does this sound like a program that we actually had going in? And then when I was thinking about Dickey hitting the deck of the aircraft carrier, I mean, a friend called over the weekend to say, isn't it against the law to impersonate a member of the armed forces? Isn't it? But I said, but you know, he's the commander in chief. So maybe that's why he got away with it. Isn't it against the law to impersonate a member of the armed forces? When he was AWOL, or some call him a deserter, but he is the commander in chief, even though a lot of us think he's a coward. I think he's a coward. I think he's a weak man. I don't think he's smart, and it looks like everything he's done has been a failure, and he very well could still get elected, and particularly he could still get elected if the voting machine situation doesn't get fixed. California has outlawed some of these Diebold voting machines. California has said, absolutely not. And as we know, in many instances, California is a bellwether state. 303-382-1150. Okay, oh, there it is. Abner Louima. And Eric doesn't think he died, but I kind of think he didn't. Oh, he did. All right. I thought he died. Maybe it was somebody else the cops beat up in New York. But he didn't die. He sued and he won his case. And Eric also emails and he says, this Iraq picture, are you kidding? Bush lovers think, quote, colored should be humiliated by our best and our brightest. So the question is, are these horrible, grisly scenes that are emerging from Iraqi prisons where we are humiliating these prisoners and committing untold human rights violations, at least allegedly, is that going to do anything is that going to have any effect on the current regime and the election possibilities? That's my question. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
I was scared to death signing a lease, I'll tell you that.
Who's going to help us do this? Realtor. It's like we have to have a trained professional that's going to go out and look for exactly what we want.
Whether you pay utilities or whether you don't.
If I were looking for another property, I wouldn't do it without a commercial realtor. I don't have the expertise.
When you're ready to lease or buy a commercial property, ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I could just turn it over to her and that it would be done and be done correctly.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
NABBA can keep your car looking great with Black Magic Tire Wet. Now just $3.79 a bottle. Just spray Black Magic on your tires for a high gloss shine. NABBA, get the good stuff.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Learn firsthand about another culture without leaving the country and establish a friendship that will last a lifetime. Pacific Intercultural Exchange has international students from more than 40 countries coming to Denver for homestay programs, and they need your help. PIE is looking for host families to share the American way of life. If you're interested in hosting a foreign teen or would like more information about the program, please call PIE at 1-800-828-9001.
The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m.
As I look into your eyes, I tell you what I see. Girl, you're the one I'm going to keep in my dreams. I want to hold you close.
Pitiful. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. Now, live local news and traffic, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Why?
Let's hear it.
Because you don't stop wanting information on the weekends. Hear Colorado Talk, AM 1150 KNRC.
Life is great, yeah?
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:52 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Bev Harris to talk about black box voting, about e-voting, and what we ought to be looking at. Well, join us in the 2 o'clock hour. We have two more pairs of tickets to give away to the Gary Hart speech tomorrow night at Hudson Gardens. That is at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, May 4, Hudson Gardens, and I will be introducing him. And we'll give away one pair of tickets in the next hour, and another pair in the 2 o'clock hour. So the tickets, if you're not lucky enough to win them, are apparently about $6 a piece. So a pair is worth $12. At a McCormick Tribune Foundation conference on terrorism in 2001, February 26, 2001, and 9/11 was 2001. So this was before 9/11. Paul Bremer, who is head of the Provisional Coalition Authority, said the new administration seems to be paying no attention to the problem of terrorism. This is Paul Bremer. What they will do is stagger along until there's a major incident and then suddenly say, oh, my God, shouldn't we be organized to deal with this? Now, that's too bad. They've been given a window of opportunity with very little terrorism now, and they're not taking advantage of it. Bremer made the speech after he had chaired the National Commission on Terrorism, a bipartisan body formed by the Clinton administration to examine U.S. counterterrorism policies. Paul Bremer, who heads up the Provisional Coalition Authority in Iraq, said in 2001, February, way before, months before 9/11, he said the new administration seems to be paying no attention to the problem of terrorism. What they will do is stagger along until there's a major incident and then suddenly say, oh, my God, shouldn't we be organized to deal with this? Well, that's too bad. They've been given a window of opportunity with very little terrorism now, and they're not taking advantage of it. Bremer made the speech after he chaired the National Commission on Terrorism. He has now said that it was unfair of him to say this. But, in fact, he was prescient. 303-382-1150. Kevin on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Yeah, I wanted to comment. You know, the pictures of the abuse coming out of the Iraqi prisons, I think that that's horrible. I mean, I think we all agree it's horrible. But what I kind of am taken by is the amount of surprise and shock that we are capable of doing something like that that so many people are showing. I mean, after all, the mission that we have there in Iraq is fundamentally immoral and wrong-headed to begin with. I mean,
You know what I'm thinking? You know what the analogy that occurred to me, it's a little bit of what, it's off the mark, but it occurs to me with what's going on in business in this country. I think that when you are, I'm thinking, why are people doing this? And I'm thinking that when you are in a situation where you don't have the right training, you don't have the right body armor, you don't have the right supplies, and you have a lot of pressure in you to get something right away, you'll do anything. And you see it in business. You see executives, one after another, coming up for trial because nobody has any patience. They want an immediate payoff on Wall Street so that they will cut every single corner. They won't even bother about the corner. They will do anything they can, even if it's criminal these days, not just short of criminal, but even criminal these days, to get the results they want, and it's no different, apparently, in Iraq.
Well, absolutely. In fact, our presence in Iraq is arguably criminal. And they talk about these outside contractors who are doing interrogations. Now, why in the world?
And there are no rules. There are no rules for these outside.
That's right.
Here's what's happening. What's finally becoming coming to light. And that is the Army has outsourced more and more and more and more of its functions to the point that private security is guarding the head of the Provisional Coalition Authority, or the coalition, whatever it's called, in Iraq, not military, private people, and the rules governing them are a very gray area.
Yeah, I mean, it shocks me to see the American public get so upset and say, oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing that to these Iraqi prisoners. Well, does the American public not have any realization that we went in and blew many innocent Iraqis into little pieces with cluster bombs during our invasion? I mean, do they not grasp the concept that we went in there and killed a whole bunch of innocent people when we weren't even threatened? I mean, is that not sinking in yet? That's the part that gets
me. No, it hasn't sunk in yet, Kevin. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Brian, calling from Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Brian.
I would just want to make a comment, and I'll hang up and let you talk. I think you're kind of doing a disservice to the U.S. military by reporting on the 17 people that have committed these atrocities and the over 200,000 troops that are there doing a great job and liberating the country. But these 17 shouldn't give a bad name.
Liberating? They liberated the country?
Yes.
And they were greeted with flowers in the streets, and we were only supposed to be there for 30 days. What are we doing there, Brian? Why are we even there?
And my second point was that...
Wait. I'm asking you a question. Why are we even there?
Why are we in Iraq?
Yeah.
I cannot answer that question 100% why.
If you can't answer the question, if a bright guy like you cannot answer the question, then we shouldn't be there. Why do you think we're there?
I'm not sure.
Nobody knows why we're there. You join a long list of people standing around making a wind by scratching their heads at the same time because nobody knows why we are there. They had nothing to do with 9/11. It being there was a complete irrelevancy that has drained our financial resources, drained our people resources, and taken our eyeballs off of Afghanistan and where terrorism is actually breeding, allowing them to regroup, get stronger, concoct more plans when we had them on the run, and to produce bumper crops of opium in the bumper crop production of heroin used to finance even more terrorism.
Well, the State Department just reported that international terrorism is down is lower than it's ever been since 1969.
Oh, so that stuff that happened in Spain, that isn't anything to worry about?
Well, it's being reported more, but the statistics are that international terrorism is down.
Oh, and that's because we went into Iraq?
I don't know what the correlation is, but at least the terrorism is down.
Well, I join you in scratching my head as to why we are in Iraq, Brian. 303-382-1150. We're just about out of time in this hour, but the good news is two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We have two more pairs of tickets to give away to the Gary Hart speech, the lecture tomorrow night at Hudson Gardens. Oh, I got my picture of me and Tommy Franks. Enid and Tommy together forever. I'll show it to you on the air, and you just look into your radio and you can see it. I'm Enid Goldstein, and this is AM 1150.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Some sharp fighting in one of Iraq's holiest cities, scene of some of the strongest anti-American feelings. NBC's Carl Rochelle says rebel forces are taking shots at U.S. troops.
There was fighting at Najaf today as militia from Muqtada al-Sadr, the Shiite cleric, shelled a U.S. position. That's the position that had been held by the Spaniards. They dropped 20 mortar rounds in there today, and there was some fighting with small arms.
No word on when he'll be back home in Macon, Mississippi, but the whole town of about 2,500 people waiting for Thomas Hamel. He's in Germany now after escaping from his kidnappers in Iraq. Hamel pried open the door of the building in which he was held and ran to a passing U.S. patrol. Heads up for the so-called Sasser worm. It's infecting tens of thousands of computers around the world. If there's a problem, your machine will show a lot of error messages and keep rebooting. You can download a repair patch from Microsoft. I'm Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Can the right brakes make you faster? In 1953, it was their revolutionary new braking system that allowed Jaguar to dominate Le Mans. Better brakes meant drivers could attack the straightaways with far more ferocity, a lesson well remembered to this day. The new 2005 Jaguar S-Type R, born with race-inspired Brembo brakes, lives for faster laps. Jaguar, born to perform.
NBC Tonight, another Fear Factor first.
Yeah!
Second Chance Fear Factor. The most famous losers are back.
That girl is an animal!
But this time, someone's actually gonna win. Then, the amazing conclusion of the NBC miniseries event, 10.5.
Help is on the way.
Another earthquake could destroy the West Coast. Be there when the big one hits. The conclusion of 10.5 after Second Chance Fear Factor, NBC Tonight.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, sunny, 77 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Third grade CSAP scores are out. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Those problems are all in the mousetrap right now. Southbound I-25 in the mousetrap, disabled vehicle blocking the left lane. They're trying to get a tow truck in there to get that person out of the way. New report of an accident northbound I-25 on the mousetrap. Something fell out of a truck, hit another car. Sounds like those vehicles are over on the shoulder, but it could cause you some delays in there nonetheless. Freeway traffic by and large, though, except for those things moving along in pretty decent shape, posted freeway speeds for the most part. Northbound Colorado at I-70, an accident. Dahlia and 48th Avenue up north, we have an injury accident. A lot of fire rescue equipment on the scene there. 11th and Spear, a minor accident. Jewel and Federal, police putting the finishing touches on an injury accident there. Subway introduces 4 new fresh salads like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb control dressing. Subway, eat fresh. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
CSAP reading scores for third graders have been released. State School Board Chairman Jared Paulus had the good news today.
Clearly, in order to have academic success, our students need to be able to read. And what we've shown here today is that across the state of Colorado, 74% of our third graders are showing proficient or advanced in reading.
As usual, the news is a mixed bag. With 74% that are proficient, there are still some 14,000 third graders in the state who will be going on to fourth grade but aren't reading at a fourth grade level. This report brought to you by News 4. Volunteers are working to gather 34,000 signatures to put RTD's Fast Tracks plan on the November ballot. Fast Tracks will run nearly 120 miles of new light rail tracks to Golden, Boulder, Denver International Airport, and other parts of the metro area. The plan also includes more bus service and some new park-and-ride locations. If voters approve, the plan could cost taxpayers $4.7 billion. Funding would come from a sales tax increase that would add about 4 cents to every $10 of merchandise purchased. Critics are saying the plan is too expensive and won't pay off for the metro area. An Englewood police officer shot a man in the chest last night when the man lunged at the officer. Police had been called to a home on South Cherokee just before 1 this morning on a report of a man choking a boy. The first officer on the scene says he found 36-year-old Andrew Montoya in the garage of his home choking his 7-year-old son. Hitting his 7-year-old son. Police say the officer was able to get between Montoya and the boy, but that Montoya didn't follow orders and lunged at the officer, who shot Montoya once in the chest. As of this morning, Montoya was listed in serious condition. The boy had neck and face injuries that were considered to be minor. Police say Montoya has a criminal record and is on parole. They say he had been drinking at the time of the incident. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche have been able to win 2 games in a row and have now pulled to within 1 game in their playoff series with the San Jose Sharks. Game 6 is tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center, as hoping they can pull even with the Sharks. It's a day off for the Colorado Rockies today as they get ready for a road trip to Montreal tomorrow to play 3 against the Expos. Over the weekend, the Rocks took 2 of their 3 games with the Braves, including yesterday's slugfest for the Rockies, as they beat Atlanta 13-4. Tonight, a Denver man's cardiac arrest is just the beginning of the story. The technology that brought him back from the dead tonight at 10 on News 4. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
There is only one way that Denver and the Front Range spell talk radio. KNRC. That's AM 1150 KNRC.
You know what I find puzzling? Why a woman would pay good money for gorgeous sandals and then wear them with feet that have cracked heels, calluses, and raggedy toenails.
I'm Evelinda Ehrman, and that confused woman you hear is Judy Schwartz, my co-host on Style Matters Live. I have a solution for you, Judy. Salon Mercedes at Orchard and I-25 offers pedicures to fit every pocketbook. They're perfect for the sandal season.
Oh, yeah? What have they got?
The $20 petite pedicure, the $40 pedicure plus with an alpha hydroxy acid scrub, the $55 spa pedicure with a salt glow, and the $60 Mercedes special with everything plus a free gift. Salon Mercedes treats your tootsies like your whole body should be treated. Lots of gentle rubbing, warm soaking, tender massaging.
Let's not get carried away. Salon Mercedes at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7, Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. That's 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
I'm Mike Stiniford with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A warm weather pattern for the next several days for this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine. Look for a high around 82. Tonight, fair skies down to a low of 48. 83 with sunshine tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies. Looks like 88 for a high on Wednesday as our warming trend continues. For the Weather Channel, I'm Mike Stiniford on AM 1150 KNRC.
Sunny and 77 now. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and joining us in the next hour is going to be Bev Harris, author of Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 21st Century. And the thing that I am very concerned about in this very heated, extremely close election coming up is the possibility for ballot tampering with e-voting. Now, in this state, Strickland was projected to win over Allard, and he lost by way more points than anybody could have imagined. And we don't have e-voting in all parts of the state, but we have e-voting in some of the state. 303-382-1150. So it'll be interesting to talk with her. Also, the Gary Hart Lecture is tomorrow night at Hudson Garden, 7 o'clock. I will be introducing him, and we have two more pairs of tickets to give away. And we'll do one pair in this hour, and we will do one pair in the next hour. So keep listening. And Hudson Gardens is located at 6115 South Santa Fe Drive. And they have a website, hudsongardens.com. And if you want more info, 303-797-8565. Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! She's on Pacifica Radio. She has a new book out called The Exception to the Rules. And she's got a huge following. Let's see what we can tell you about her. She is she's won a lot of prestigious awards in journalism, including the George Polk Award, the Alfred I. DuPont Columbia University Award, and now the Robert F. Kennedy Prize for International Reporting. Her show airs on more than 200 radio and TV stations across the country. And she lives in New York, and I think she has been on Pacifica Radio or continues to be on Pacifica Radio. But she's going to be our guest tomorrow. And Michael Moore says, pick up this book, read it, and go raise some hell. So that's Amy Goodman, and that's tomorrow. And also we're going to be joined by Dr. Judith Orloff on Thursday. And on Friday, our good friend, barbecue guru, he has a Ph.D. in barbecue, John Head, and he's going to show us how to barbecue stuff, which I don't know how to do any of it. 303-382-1150. Amy Goodman's new book is The Exception to the Rulers, Exposing Oily Politicians, War Profiteers, and the Media that Love Them. Oh, that should be pretty juicy. Okay, so that's tomorrow. One of the things that I'm concerned about is the John Kerry's lack of get up and go. Something's happening here, and I don't know what it is exactly, but he has not appeared in Colorado that I'm aware of since they've started stepping on the gas and since he has, is effectively the de facto candidate, Democratic candidate for president. We haven't seen him in Colorado. We hear that there's no real office here for him, or not much going on. Maybe there is. There's no office apparently in Ohio, which is a major swing state. 303-382-1150. And the story on the front page of the New York Times yesterday is Kerry struggling to find a theme. Democrats are scared about this. As Bush presses forward, rival is seen lagging in some key areas. Kerry has not hired a state director or opened a campaign office in Ohio. We haven't seen him here in Colorado. Now, maybe it's early yet. We're not seeing that many of his ads. So we wonder whether he's going to step on the gas and really do things. And somebody I have talked to who is apparently part of the Kerry operation says a lot of Democrats call in, and they're really picky that the Republicans are going to go for Bush no matter what, because he embodies the Republican point of view. But Democrats are so picky that if Kerry doesn't do or say just the right thing, they'll go for Nader. You know, it has to be just exactly right, or else they're going to... And you can't do that in this election. You just cannot do it. You got to go for Kerry or whoever the Democratic candidate is. Otherwise, that's it. We have four more years of the most dangerous regime that I think we have ever had, in my memory anyway. Jim Spencer in today's Denver Post, talking about a draft and how a draft would give all of us a stake in Iraq. The huge majority of Americans don't care very much about Iraq, and that's because they don't have a stake in it. But Jim Spencer is arguing that the draft would provide a stake in it. It puts the male offspring of every rich defense contractor, every patriotism-professing politician, every chicken hawk policy wonk, and frankly, every self-absorbed American in harm's way. Then the Iraqi war would matter to everybody. Then it would be about everybody's health, families, and retirement accounts. There's a telling fact, Jim Spencer writes in today's Denver Post, about members of the Colorado congressional delegation who came of age during the Vietnam era. None of them served in the military. Most got college deferments to avoid the draft. Some got medical deferments. Not a single one enlisted. Folks who lived with the Vietnam draft understood. He says in the 60s and 70s, the draft hovered like a sword of Damocles over every American man in his late teens and 20s. Not all, but millions of men, including me and the President of the United States, he writes, spent those years devising ways to stay out of Southeast Asia. The draft alone did not drive this country from Vietnam, but it forced all Americans to face the stakes of staying. The odds ought to be the same in Iraq. They probably won't be. If the draft were reinstated, one politician said, support for the war might drop like a rock out of a 10-story building. What do you think about that? And especially if you have kids who would be draft age now, you quake in your boots. You wouldn't want it to happen. But I'm going to tell you, if there were a draft, there would be more people involved because they would have a stake in what happens in Iraq. And I think maybe you'd see the support for Iraq, as this politician said, drop like a rock out of a 10-story building. Jim, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Ned. I wanted to follow up on the Kerry not being present in this state right now. I think we should be proactive, and you should be the motivator here. Can you get a hold of Democrats that run this state and get them on air and kind of motivate them to say, hey, you know, we got to get organized as well?
Well, I'm trying my best. I mean, I'm certainly doing it in a very public way.
Well,
but you can do it. You know what? You can do it, too. You can call them up.
I am. Let me tell you, I'm going to the Democratic Caucus on May 8th, and I'm a delegate, and I'm going to ask those questions. But see, I think, you know, your radio station has the power to contact these people and say, hey, we want to get on the air and let them know about John Kerry and where we're going with this party. And, you know, you are so important here that if we don't get this, you know, it's like we can't just lay blame on.
Wait a minute. Let me have that part about how important I am. Let me hear that again. I'm so important. How important
you are
am
important
I?
Because we don't have
in my dreams, Jim, I'm so important.
Well, I don't know if you're trying to be sarcastic.
No, I'm being serious about it. I wish we had a greater voice here.
I listen to Sirius Left Radio, Tom Hartman and of course Peter B. Collins, who you spoke with the other day.
Yeah.
And that's the only level-headed people that I can get on my radio. And you know, and you are the other part of this thing. So we need to have you working for the Democratic Party. And get these
well,
folks
wait a minute.
The
I'm not a mouth. I'm as much as I want this regime out. I'm not a mouthpiece for the Democratic Party either. I want you to know that. You
okay,
know they can
well.
They can handle themselves. I'm not a mouthpiece for them or for the Republicans. I just call it the way I see it, and I think that Kerry will make a better president than Bush.
Well, then why you should get those people that head the party and ask them where they're at. Why don't we see?
Well,
them
maybe
around
we'll
here?
Do that. Maybe we'll
because,
do that.
Because you know you're attacking Ohio and not being present there. How about Colorado?
Well, that's it. I've said the same thing. He's missing in action in Colorado. He's missing in action in Ohio. And you can run as an interesting candidate. But if you don't have the organizational skills to put yourself really over, it's not a great harbinger for how you would be leading a White House where you also need organizational skills. And you've got the Bush operation where they're running it like a military campaign.
They're a machine, you know, and if I saw where the Republicans are, that's exactly where I'd be. I'd have a party that would be in competition with them and not invisible. I think right now we're still riding on hopes, and I don't think it's going to work. We need to get active, and we need to be out there sticking our nose right into everything.
Well, I'm with you on that, and I don't know what it takes to get people off their couches and involved, but I have been getting emails from some of you saying that more people are showing up at these breakfasts and caucuses and all kinds of events, that one year 34 people showed up, and this year 87 people showed up, so that speaks well. That's
well,
a good sign.
I know who we are as a party, and, you know, we're working our butts off now to get Kerry in. But my fear is that we'll just lay back down after he's in office. I got a feeling these guys have already got a game plan in for if they lose. And we've got to have a backup group that'll be ready to receive that.
Well, I think you've got there. You can't even think about losing. I think you've got to do everything you can to not lose and to develop some kind of an organization in Colorado. Colorado, I don't know what the definition of how Colorado would be viewed as a swing state, but you certainly have the Senate seat in play with Ken Salazar, and it's looking good for him at the moment. But you can't rest on your laurels there. But you've got to have some kind of a serious campaign organization. And I'm hearing that the Dems are in disarray in Colorado. So
it is true. They are in disarray. I don't see no organization that's really, you know, they have good people. I mean, you've talked to Andrew Romanoff. And, I love kind of these people. But it's like the party itself has got to get organized and moving, you know. I mean, I went to hear Michael Moore, and he made a statement. You know the difference between liberals and conservatives? Conservatives get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they stretch their arms and they say, who are we going to screw today? And liberals don't get out of bed till like 10 or 11. And they say, I can't think until I have a cup of espresso. And I kind of feel that.
Right.
You know,
tumble out of bed at noon and go get a latte. So, yeah.
That's not going to fly anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Jim. And I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. So I'm going to ask you this question. The question is, what's it going to take, A, for the swing voters? Now, remember, all this money, these zillions of dollars to do the campaign are to influence swing voters. What is it going to do to influence, to, if you happen to be somebody who's on the fence, and I don't understand how you could be, but if you are on the fence, I want to know, what will it take to influence you? And here's an email from Jackie. Jackie says, I'm guessing that Kerry is having to wait until later in the campaign to push his agenda due to money. He cannot compete with Shrub and the Republicans, and I'm only thinking that it would be necessary for him to wait until summer to begin an all-out campaign. A scary move, but I'm afraid that's the only way we can compete. Well, I think that's awfully late. I think you start right now. And the Washington Post had a big story about a lot of the campaign contributors are small contributors. And we saw that with the Howard Dean campaign, where they raised a ton of money very quickly and on the Internet. And average contributions were not huge. I think maybe $57, $58 a person, something very doable for people. And my idea for the Kerry campaign is to do a silk scarf or and or ties. And you write a check for $50 or $60 or whatever it is, and you get a scarf that could function, that's so well designed you'd want to wear it. And could also function as a carry ad that you'd be wearing, but also look nice and gives you something for your check. I think more people are likely. I saw it with breast cancer awareness. They had a really lovely Lilly Pulitzer designed silk scarf. It was maybe about $35, $40, something like that. $30, $40. I sent away for it because my mom had breast cancer. And it was a lovely scarf. And maybe I wouldn't have just written a check for $40 or $50, but I liked the scarf, and that made me do it. So I think it'll make other people do it as well for the Kerry campaign. Dan in Denver, first-time caller, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Dan with the John Kerry campaign.
Uh-huh.
I understand there have been some complaints about us not actively campaigning in this state. I was just calling to correct that.
Oh, you were. Now, have you got your radio off?
I do have it off, yes.
Okay. All right, so correct the record, because I'm hearing that there's not much going on. And how come he hasn't been in the state?
He hasn't been in the state because we don't have a presidential primary anymore. So he's had to focus his energies on the states that do have presidential primaries, because that's his first order of business, is getting through the primary process. Here in Colorado, our order of business is getting through our state assembly process, which has been going on all through this month and will not end until May 22nd, after which time we'll be able to focus more broadly based on the state as a whole. And John,
why can't you do both at the same time, Dan?
Limited resources. Basically, we're putting all of our people into the county assemblies at this point, and then it'll be into the state assembly, after which point we are expecting John to be here.
What are you doing in the way of fundraising? And if somebody calls up who wants to volunteer, what response will they get?
We will have a list of things that people can volunteer
not
to do.
Not
right
will.
Now.
What do you have right now? If I call you up right now, what am I going to get from you guys?
Depending on where you live, what's close to you to volunteer with, we have activities going on across the state. The biggest things we have going on right now are those county assemblies, going in there, getting people to vote for Kerry so we can get all of our delegates from Colorado to
explain
go to
the county. Explain the county assembly process to people who don't know about it.
Well, this all started back on April 13th with the precinct caucuses.
Yes.
People are selected from the caucuses to move up to the county-level assemblies. County-level assemblies then elect their county-level officials, and they also elect delegates to go on to the state assembly. The state assembly then, which is on May 22nd in Pueblo, is where we select our delegates to go to the national convention to support presidential candidates.
All right, but you're not talking about Republicans and Democrats. You're only talking about Democrats.
Talking about our Democrats. Right.
Right. So you're putting all of your efforts into preaching to the choir right now, into all this assembly and the caucus and everything else. And what about to people who are swing voters whose opinions about Kerry could start to gel at this time, would start to solidify? You're not even reaching out to them, are you?
What I would tell these people is watch the news tonight. You'll start seeing the first of the...
No, tell me right now. Tell me, what are you doing right now, not the assembly, not the caucuses. What are you doing right now to reach out to the swing voter, to the undecided voter, to the disaffected moderate Republican? What are you doing right now?
We're having a presence at any given county fairs, which haven't really started yet because of the weather. We're just now getting into the season where we can start doing this stuff and being outdoors and getting...
You're not
people.
Doing anything. What are the Republicans doing right now for Bush? What are they doing right now, if I were to ask
Less
you,
than
Dan?
We're doing for Kerry.
Less? Really?
Yep.
I hope you're right about
that. They assume they're going to win the state. They're wrong, but they assume it.
So if I call up and I want to be a Republican volunteer, I was told by somebody who called both the Dems and the Republicans, this is some months back, that the Republicans had it all down, chapter and verse, here numbers, here contacts, here's what you can do. And the Dems, by the time they stopped scratching themselves.
Well, we do, too. I keep trying to tell you what those things are. You keep cutting me off.
Yeah, but wait. By the time the Democrats stopped scratching themselves, they sent out letters of solicitation for donations. They had nothing comparable. Is that changed?
It has changed.
Okay.
We're building a volunteer base. We're reaching out to anybody who wants to volunteer. We're getting them on a list and calling them up when we have items for them to go do in their areas.
All right. Now, if I'm a volunteer, what would you have me go do right now?
Right now, what I would have you do is show up Saturday morning, Denver County Convention, if you're in the Denver area.
And what would you have me do besides show up?
I would have you there selling buttons and bumper stickers and things like that to raise money for Kerry. I would have you there handing out literature for Kerry. And I would have you recruiting more people to volunteer at more events as the summer gets up.
All right, Dan, what about registering college students to vote? You got any outreach going out there?
We do. We have people on all of the major campuses around the state. This is something both the Democrats and the Republicans are doing. We have people on campuses throughout the state registering new voters. We're getting those people signed up, and that information is coming to the Kerry campaign as well as to the Democratic Party.
Yeah, are you able to identify the swing voters and make some outreach to those people?
That's who we're focusing the most heavily on.
Well,
anybody who does not, who marks an unaffiliated box, those are definitely going on my first people to contact list.
But you haven't contacted them yet.
Like I said, right now we're pretty much building here. We've got our county assembly process.
You're not doing, wait a minute, Dan, I'm on your side.
Right.
But I'm hearing that it's not happening yet. How can we help you to get more people to volunteer? And if we do get more people to volunteer for you, is there somebody who can structure a system to make it really pay off?
That's what we're here. I'm calling from the office that does that right this second. The fastest way to do it.
All right, if we want to put out the call for people to volunteer for the Kerry campaign, what number should they call?
The best thing to do is go to our website. We have two phone lines. So if everybody called at one time.
Dan, I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm giving you a free plug. So
www.colorado4carry.com.
Colorado4carry.com. And what is your phone number? In case people.
303-830-0232.
303-830-0232. And if you want to become a volunteer for the Kerry organization, this is the number that you could call.
That's the number you can call or go to the website.
And the website is coloradoforcarry.com. Okay, Dan, I thank you for calling in, and we can't let you go without giving you, since you're a first-timer. There it is.
Thank you much.
You're welcome.
You have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
303. I don't think they're doing much over there, what it sounds like to me. Oh, we have to take a break. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
The grizzly bear is one of America's most majestic animals. Noted for their strength and intelligence, they're also playful and lovable. I know. Let's give them some trash cans to destroy. These trash cans are made by Colorado inmates and sent to Montana for testing by the experts. If they can withstand this, they can take anything. Can they make these cans bear-proof? Tonight on 9 News at 10.
He's a comedy legend, a best-selling author, and he's the real Fat Albert.
Who's fat?
Next all-new Ellen.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's Bill Cosby.
Hey, hey.
Hey. Plus, scrub Sarah Chalk and music from Hanson.
Da-da-da-da-da.
And don't miss Ellen's Make My Day and May Days.
Usually this show is free. We're going to have to charge you today.
With May guests like Mary Tyler Moore, Jay Leno, and Hugh Jackman on The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show, today at 3 on 9 News.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal presents Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are generally higher to begin this Monday. The markets are giving back some of their earlier gains. The Dow Jones Industrial Average had been up almost 100 points earlier today, now showing a 56-point gain at 10,282, while the NASDAQ Composite Index is up 11 at 1931. Within the last hour, a New York jury has found former Star investment banker Frank Quattrone guilty of obstruction of justice and two other charges. He faces a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison. He will be sentenced in September. Quattrone was responsible for some of the highest-profile IPOs during the dot-com craze back in the 1990s. Right now, the markets are waiting for the Federal Reserve. They will meet tomorrow to decide the course of short-term interest rates. The bet is that they will signal that they intend to raise rates, but not just yet. Right now, the Dow up 55 points, the NASDAQ up 10. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. We got about 40 minutes of trading left in the market.
How do you help keep health care affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this as a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of health care. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
NBC Tonight, another Fear Factor first. Yeah! Second Chance Fear Factor. The most famous losers are back.
That girl is an animal!
But this time, someone's actually gonna win. Then, the amazing conclusion of the NBC miniseries event, 10.5.
Help is on the way.
Another earthquake could destroy the West Coast. Be there when the big one hits. The conclusion of 10.5 under Second Chance Fear Factor, NBC Tonight.
We know how important traffic is to you. We've got Leilani Larson mornings and Steve Smith afternoons to get you through that rush hour traffic. Keep it here on AM 1150 KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
But I can say that if we do not try, failure is all too likely and too costly.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:31, the times they are a-changing. I'm Enid Goldstein, yours until 3 o'clock on AM 1150 KNRC. Well, we are feeling let down, John Kerry. Get it together for Colorado, and I'm getting these increasingly angry and hostile messages from Eric, who's saying, it's only May. Nobody pays attention until the summer ends. Well, I don't know. The Republicans are getting their organization together. They're nailing it down. They're doing it way in advance. And I think that's going to force the Dems to do the same thing, and they better get their act together. 303-382-1150. You can never start too soon. Get the organization going. Start getting their voters registered. You don't wait until the last minute, not in this kind of an election environment. What do you think? 303-382-1150. Is Salazar out there shaking hands? You bet he is. He was at that Shalom Park dinner the other night, you know, in tow, meeting everybody, potential contributors. And then I met him the night before. Oh, and I want to say something. In the Salazar at the Uptown Tavern on Pearl and 17th, when they had that gathering for him, there were a lot of 20-somethings, 30-somethings, really a hot-looking crowd. That was great. So if you want to meet new people, they were all ages, but I think probably the biggest age group was the 20-something, 30-something age group there. They were really a good-looking bunch, and it's a great way to meet people. I knew a top society dame in San Francisco who met all of her rich husbands through politics, and she advised all of her girlfriends to do the same. So I'm just putting it out there. 303-382-1150. Joe in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid. I heard on the news just before I turned you on, the new news that Kerry had declared Colorado a battleground state, and they're going to start running ads in Colorado.
Well, it's really whether it's literally a swing state and how they actually determine that, I don't know, but it's going to be a tight senatorial race,
well,
probably.
Well, I heard that on the news that they're going to start running ads in Colorado.
Good.
They figure it's a battle. The other thing I want to say, we've become what we've been fighting for against a whole century, and that's the world's greatest imperialist power.
I think you're right about that. All the things that Bush said he wasn't going to do, nation building, etc.
That's right. He wasn't going to nation build.
Yeah,
he wasn't,
that's what, and he was a uniter, not a divider.
Not a divider, that's right.
Okay. I thank you very much for the call, Joe. 303-382-1150. I'm looking. Bush is in my neighborhood in Michigan right now. You know, people are going to, the property values are plummeting even as we speak. Harold in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, thanks, Enid.
Oh, first time caller, Harold. We have something for you to say.
Okay. Oh, was that sweet? Anyway,
you can pop a Viagra right now, Harold.
Yeah. I will change the subject just slightly. Reading the morning Wall Street Journal today, page
yes.
A20, by a column by Victor Hansen regarding the treatment of Iraqi prisoners by our soldiers. It's a long one, but I'd like to read just one paragraph, maybe two here.
Well, make it quick, though, because are you talking about on the op-ed page?
Yes.
Okay, I've got it right here in front
yeah.
of me. All right, here's
okay,
Victor Davis.
In the center column there where he says, fourth,
uh-huh.
the Arab world where the mass murdering bin Laden is often canonized is shocked by a pyramid of nude bodies and full electric pods, but has so far expressed less collective outrage in its media when the charred corpses of four Americans were poked and dismembered by cheering crowds in Fallujah, the taped murder of Daniel Pearl, or a video of the hooded Italian who had his brains blown out. This is daily fare that emanates now from the television studios of the Middle East.
Okay, so tell me what your point is about that.
Well, I don't think people in general realize or are thinking about this, that the Arabian media is so upset, so hot under the collar about our 6 or 12 soldiers humiliating some Iraqis, and yet when these other things happen, when they poke and dismember our charred soldiers, they're cheering for it.
Well, I'm sure that that's true, and I'm sure it's because they don't want us in there so that we are more demonized. When they do it, it's better, and when we do it, it's not better.
Yeah, but I don't know if the...
But my question was, is this going to... Are you going to be a Bush supporter? Is that where you are
coming? Oh, heavens, no.
Okay. But my question is, these pictures now coming out of Iraq...
Yes.
Forget how that plays in the Arab world. It's never going to play well in the Arab world, even if they do, if they commit worse atrocities or if they condone worse atrocities toward Americans.
Yeah.
It's never going to play well. But my question is, how will it play in this country? Is it going to be the thing that is unexpectedly what erodes support for the war or erodes Bush's chances for reelection, or will it just pass by because we have no collective memory?
I think you just put it right there. We have no collective memory for anything, and we see things just as they are this minute, this hour. And if this hour our troops are being humiliated by, or they are humiliating the Iraqis, then we're all shook up and upset. Day after tomorrow, nobody will remember, and we'll be mad. At least I hope everybody will be very upset that we are in Iraq, and let's get the heck out of there.
All right. I thank you, Harold. I hope you'll call us again. Thanks very much for the call. 303-382-1150. I mean, well, let's take this very quickly. Dave in Lakewood, first-time caller, welcome.
Oh, hi, Enid.
We have something for you.
Well, thank you very much,
I'm
sure glad you waited until after you got through kicking some butt on the Kerry campaign to give him his little orchestras there. So I'm not a real articulate guy, but I am a very active Democrat, probably a fairly moderate, maybe conservative Democrat. I'm definitely supporting Kerry, but boy, this campaign appears to be headed the same direction as Al Gore's did. He seems to be surrounded by the same kind of people. Don't say mean things about George Bush. Throw a whole bunch of dumbass ideas out there about tax cuts and new programs that cost big bucks. And he's so defensive about everything. If a reporter asks him a question, he goes into PC overdrive.
Well, that's our fear. I think he's ratcheted it up a little bit more, but I'm with you on this. He's getting lessons from the Al Gore School of Timidity, and it's not going to work. Although he sounds like he's kicking some behind lately, but here's what he's got to do. He's got to have a very tight organization, and I hope he does that. And he doesn't have it yet in Colorado, it doesn't sound like.
It sure doesn't sound like it. I was at the Jefferson County Assembly Saturday, and I was working, so I may have missed something, but I didn't hear anybody get up and really give any big talk about Kerry the whole time I was there. And I was there from 6 in the morning till 5 at night.
Ooh.
And yeah. I was really disappointed. And, you know, I don't know why he didn't just, you know, when these reporters give him these back-in-the-corner questions, why don't he just say, you know, something like, yeah, I got an SUV and it uses too much gas, and then start talking about finding ways to encourage the automakers.
Well, I'm going to tell you what the Republicans have got going. They've got a whole bunch of military people who are going to sign on and say what a bad person Kerry was and what a bad commander he is. And I have a feeling that they've got so many of them that they are people that had nothing whatever to do with Kerry. I mean, Kerry was highly decorated, and they've got to find a way to undercut that.
Well,
because Dickie, the best he could do was land on an aircraft carrier after being sort of AWOL or a deserter for part of his National Guard service. And I have some real juicy stuff on Dick Cheney, too, and his deferments. He got about 5 of them.
I know he did.
Yeah, Dave, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
1:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 77 degrees. CSAP reading scores for third graders are out. I'll have that story in a moment. First, though, let's check the roads. Here's Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Starting to settle down now a little bit on the freeway system. No accidents or stalls blocking your path right now. There is a pothole, though. It's taking up part of Lane 3. Westbound I-70 approaching Monaco Street. Patch crews will be on the scene there in just a few minutes to take care of that. Eastbound Jewel east of Wadsworth. An accident was reported there. Turns out to be just a first aid situation there, but there is fire rescue equipment on the scene all the same. Looking for a new job? Meet face-to-face with great employers in your community. Attend the Jobbing.com Career Expo this Tuesday from noon to 5 inside Invesco Field. Visit Jobbing.com for more details. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Some 14,000 third graders in Colorado will be going on to fourth grade without being able to read at a fourth grade level. The good news with today's CSAP reading scores is that about 74% of third graders in the state tested at proficient or advanced. This report brought to you by Alaska Airlines. A 12-year-old boy wound up with a gunshot wound to the ankle last night as Cinco de Mayo festivities were drawing to a close. Witnesses say a fight broke out along South Federal and ended in that shooting. Police still looking for the suspect. Meanwhile, Denver police issued 230 traffic citations, made 28 arrests during the weekend Cinco de Mayo celebration. Of the arrests, 5 were felonies. The CU investigative panel has to issue its final report on the recruiting scandal on Friday of next week, but the panel's agenda says they could release that report as early as next Monday or Tuesday. Tomorrow, the panel will hear from the mother and stepfather of Lisa Simpson, who has filed a lawsuit against the school saying she was raped at a 2001 recruiting party at her apartment. Now save an additional $10 at AlaskaAir.com on top of paying no booking fees. Discount valid on qualifying fares when you use a My Alaska Air account. Visit AlaskaAir.com. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:42.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast, lots of sunshine for us today, mostly clear tonight, overnight temperature down to near 50, sunny again tomorrow, high temperature should be up to the mid-80s, mostly sunny and 77 now. KNRC News Time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion, and that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Is now a good time to sell my house? How much can I get for it? Do I have to leave the house when people look at it? Should I hide the stuffed moose head?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time home sellers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit ColdwellBanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit JDPower.com.
Your car, $20,000. Your car radio, $300. The gas to drive into work and back.
So, do you want regular letter or you want premium?
$20. Listening to Jimmy, Enid, and Doug.
6 o'clock in the morning. Jimmy Lakey is my name.
Welcome to Enid Live. I'm yours.
AM 1150 KNRC. I'm Doug Kelly. 303-382-1150.
Priceless. AM 1150.
Turn it up loud, would you?
KNRC. The stage is set.
Real action is what we need.
Decision 2004.
If you're in a period of transition, you must help people make that transition.
Continuing coverage.
The clock is ticking.
This should be an interesting debate.
From your best choice for the info regarding the election in 2004. AM 1150, KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:45 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I had to think for a minute there. What day is this, and where are we? Are we still in the weekend? I hope we are. All right, I think we ought to give away a couple of tickets now. What number of callers should it be, Joe? What do you think? 7. He said 4, and I said 7. 7. Let's try. Let's see if we can, if there are 7 people listening to this radio program today. Do you think this could be a stretch? Okay. Be the 7th caller and you will win a pair of tickets and you will get a twofer tomorrow. You will hear the speech by Gary Hart at Hudson Gardens and it should be interesting. And I will introduce him. So you get to get me too, but you're really going to get him. And this is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I think you're going to pick up your tickets at Will Call. It's at Hudson Gardens. The value of the tickets is $12. And he was, remember, the what's interesting about Gary Hart is that he was part of the Warren Rudman commission, the two of them. It was a bipartisan commission on terrorism. And they submitted a report early on to the Bush administration, which the Bush administration promptly ignored. And it was prescient, pretty much, in predicting 9/11, that 9/11 could occur. So he has also apparently tried to warn Condoleezza Rice. He warned her twice in one version of the story that I read. And I think since he knows a lot about terrorism, I think he's going to be interesting to hear. I have heard him speak, and he's very good. And also, I think he is interesting because he and Rudman did a follow-up report once 9/11 occurred and how to make the U.S. safer, and very few of those provisions really have been implemented. since the report came out, and the report's been out for quite a while. So 303-382-1150, I think we have a winner, and I'll announce the winner as soon as I have the name. But that's tomorrow night, and if you want to go and you didn't win a set of tickets, and we are going to give away one more pair of tickets, and we are going to do that in the next hour. They are $6 a piece, $12, and let me give you the number, 303-797-8565. 303-797-8565 is the number. You can go to the web and go to hudsongardens.com and find out about the lecture series and what else is going on over at Hudson Gardens. Dick Cheney, 5 draft deferments. He said, you know, I would have, if they had wanted me, I would have definitely served in Vietnam. He said, had I been drafted, I would have been happy to serve, but he did everything he could to keep from getting drafted. 5 different deferments. He questioned, again, this week, the credentials of Senator John Kerry and his ability to be commander-in-chief. Kerry, who was decorated in Vietnam and has made his service there a central element of his campaign, fired back. Putting Cheney's record in the spotlight, Kerry said that he got every deferment in the world and decided he had better things to do. Now, here's the thing, and one of the things that's made Cheney so arrogant is that he's lashed out before at people who are decorated, and nobody's lashed back at him. But Kerry did it, and if you scrutinize Cheney's record, it's worse than Bush's, than Dickey's. He said he never served because of deferments to finish a college career that lasted 6 years rather than 4, which he attributed to subpar academic performance. He flunked out of Yale, as a matter of fact, and the fact that he had to work to pay for his education. Maybe the reason he stretched it out as long as he could is because he was getting student deferments. Anyway, he also told the Washington Post, Dick Cheney told the Washington Post, that he had sought his deferments because, quote, I had other priorities in the 60s than military service. Oh, really? And in an early shot of him taken in 1964, he did not have that crooked, malevolent-looking smile. So it shows you what kind of a person he's become, I think. You become sort of who you are inside. You start looking like who you are inside is what I think. But anyway, others contend that Cheney appeared to go to some length to avoid the draft. 5 deferments seems incredible to me, said a professor at the University of Missouri in St. Louis who's written extensively about the draft. That's a lot of times for the draft board to say, okay. In February 62, when Cheney was classified 1A, available for service, he was doing poorly at Yale. But the military was taking only older men at that point, and like others who were in college at the time, Cheney seemed to have little concern about being drafted. In June, he left Yale. After returning home to Casper, Wyoming, worked as a lineman for a power company. At that point, the Vietnam War was still a glimmer on the horizon. In July, in 62, only 82,000 men were inducted into the service. But by 1963, ferment in Vietnam was rising, and Cheney enrolled in Casper Community College. In January of 63, he turned 22 that month and sought his first student deferment on March 20th. Then, after transferring to the University of Wyoming at Laramie, he sought his second student deferment in July of 63. In August of 64, Congress approved the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which allowed Lyndon Johnson to use unlimited military force in Vietnam. The war escalated. Just 22 days later, Cheney married his high school sweetheart, Lynn, and sought his third student deferment in October of 64. In May of 65, Cheney graduated from college, but his draft status changed to 1A. But he was now married, which offered him some protection. He obtained his fourth deferment when he started graduate school at the University of Wyoming in 1965. In 1965, the Selective Service lifted its ban against drafting married men who had no children. And what do you know? 9 months and 2 days later, Mr. Cheney's first daughter, Elizabeth, was born. On January 19, 1966, when his wife was about... When his wife was about 10 weeks pregnant, Cheney applied for a 3A status, the hardship exemption, which excluded men with children or dependent parents. It was granted, and then that was it. He didn't have to worry about it. He had children. If you were married, you got some protection, but then they needed so many people that just being married with no children was no protection. So the kid was born 9 months and 2 days later. And that's it. He got 5 deferments from Vietnam because, as he famously told the Washington Post, I had other priorities in the 60s than military service. This is Dick Chickenhawk Cheney. Chickenhawk. I think that's what we ought to call him. Chickenhawk Cheney. Congratulations to David from Denver for winning two tickets to the Gary Hart Lecture tomorrow night, Hudson Garden, 7 o'clock. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Ina Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Ina Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
Now, save an additional $10 at AlaskaAir.com, on top of paying no booking fees. Discount valid on qualifying fares when you use a My Alaska Air account. Visit AlaskaAir.com.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Why is buying a home so complicated? Where do I find an inspector? How do they get the house key out of that box hanging on the doorknob? I mean, do you need a key to get the key?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time homebuyers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit ColdwellBanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit JDPower.com.
And now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time. Uh-oh. All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends at television, who supported us so well, and of course Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
With Open, the small business network, David Collins has the tools to make big things happen. Find out how at open.americanexpress.com.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
Well, let's talk about Guantanamo Bay. The New York Times asserts that some of these people captured on the battlefield were, quote, in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like they took a wrong turn somewhere in Uzbekistan, all right, and then went across gravel roads for 400 miles until they showed up with guns in a combat zone.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
My name is Lucy. I work for the CIA. We've decided to put Enid Goldstein into the Witness Protection Program.
I can't tell you where,
but it's somewhere in Canada, out of the reach of President Bush.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
156 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. We were just talking about Cheney's five deferments. And if you saw Maureen Dowd's column, they don't see any dead people. Their numbers are all off. Did anybody watch, by the way, the recitation on Nightline? Their numbers dipped slightly on that show from the Friday previous. I wasn't home, but if anybody saw it, I'd like to hear from you. 303-382-1150. That was Friday's Nightline, the one that was so controversial because they were going to name the names of the fallen, our fallen service people in Iraq, and also show their photos. Joe, calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, thanks, Enid. Thanks for giving that quick history of Cheney and his deferments. He's a perfect example of someone who's played the system all of his life. And, you know, the ironic...
And I like the part where he disses government, but he's getting his checks. So who's signing his checks?
Oh, exactly. And the sad thing is he will be, just for what you said, he'll be considered a hero by a lot of right-wingers. That's the type of person they emulate, is a person who has no internal values of their own but does everything to advance their career. They'll have children if it's politically and economically convenient, or they won't. They'll get divorced. You know, everything is, everything is geared just to advance their career.
I agree with you. It's all a political calculation. I thank you, Joe. 303-382-1150. Don in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Don.
You were talking about the draft.
Yeah.
And how Cheney dodged it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people. They said 130,000 people watched the thing on Nightline the other night. I've asked about 15 or 18 people, and nobody had time to watch it.
It's got to be more than 130,000. They have an audience of millions of people.
Yeah,
it's way larger
that's
than
what they said last night when they were interviewing what's his name on Channel 7, you know. And the problem is these wars, are when they have a draft, there's always a price to pay when you have a war, but the price is always paid by the people who are least able to pay it. That's the problem.
Well, that's it. And we can all feel just fine because we like to rationalize it by saying, you know, it's an all-volunteer army. Nobody put
right.
a gun to their head. They didn't have to do it. They're doing it. And these are people who very often didn't have that whole range of choices. They didn't have a lot of choices, very often from poor families. And they thought that the army would be a way to better their lives, or the National Guard the same. Nobody expect to be stretched as thin as they are. But if more people's families were involved and the people who made the decisions, very possibly their children, their grandchildren, their brothers, their sisters would be sent off, they might think they might think twice about it.
Well, I think that Nightline thing should be something that the congressional people should watch, should be mandatory for them to watch. I think that'd be very interesting for them.
Well, they don't want to watch it. They have an agenda that has nothing to do with what laughingly refers to itself as reality. Yeah. Don, I thank you for the call. We just have a few seconds left. I'm looking at Michael Jackson coming out of a hearing, and he's got an umbrella over him. I mean, you know he's taking this hearing seriously because he's wearing glasses and no lipstick. But here he is walking in bright sunlight, and they're holding umbrellas over him like he's a potentate from some third world country. And they're saying, holding an umbrella to shield his fair skin from the Central California... Fair skin from... all those chemical treatments, I guess he must have... One more hour of Enid Black Box Voting coming up right here on 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Williams. He's in Germany now, but Thomas Hamill tells his wife he hopes to be home in Macon, Mississippi soon. He's the American civilian contractor who managed to get away from his kidnappers in Iraq. NBC's Preston Mendenhall says Hamill's recovering from a gunshot wound he suffered during his abduction.
The question is how seriously his arm is wounded by that bullet. Question also is whether he will need surgery here at Landstuhl, and whether or not he needs it will determine how long he stays here. Doctors tend to try and get patients home as soon as possible.
He'll be welcomed home with a parade. President Bush is telling the Pentagon he wants to be sure.
Why did he decide to do it? Kevin Shelley.
Because we found out absolute proof that these systems had miscounted, had disenfranchised voters. Several different brands had. There had been security breaches that had occurred, and in the case of Diebold election systems, they lied to the office of the Secretary of State.
What'd they say? How did they lie?
Several things. They, among other things, they did a bait and switch where they told them that they had imminently they were going to get this brand new system qualified, and so they were given conditional permission to use it. And then at the last minute, they made uncertified changes, and they ended up it wasn't even close to getting certified. Actually, there was quite a list of things that they had lied about. And so in their case, the new TSX system that they have is off the map entirely, and their other touchscreen systems and even their optical scans are at some risk now.
All right, let me ask you a question that really concerned me. When I was reading the Vanity Fair story about hacking the vote, they specifically mentioned Colorado because Zogby had predicted it was a very tight race, a senatorial race, the incumbent Wayne Allard being challenged by Tom Strickland, and Zogby predicted that Strickland would be the winner. And when the vote was tallied, and it's not all of Colorado that's got e-voting, but it's got, you know, but some proportion of Colorado does, Allard actually wound up winning by more points than were predicted.
Right.
Was that just a simple failure of prediction, or what do you think?
Well, you know, his win was strictly on the Diebold machines. He would not have won if not for the Diebold machines.
If he factored
the Diebold machines out, he lost.
Allard was strictly a winner on the Diebold machines. Now, refresh my memory, but the head of Diebold is a Bush pioneer, committed for the Bush reelection. Is there any way to prove that some chicanery might have happened?
Probably not. The nature of the beast is that they tend to overwrite whatever software was in the machine right after the election, so there's no trace of what was in it before.
Only the Diebold machines did he win on?
The other was close, but his margin was on the Diebold machines, yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily prove anything because you have to also take demographics into effect. But it's a concern because a very similar thing happened in California with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where the Diebold machines gave him four times as many votes as the other machines. And also in New Hampshire, where Kerry was actually just neck and neck with Dean, except for the Diebold machine. So it's they're doing, some of the scientists who are better at statistics and math than me are starting to run some numbers on this and see, you know, because it is actually fairly complex analysis. You have to look at the demographics of the area that happens to have Diebold as well.
Max Cleland, he left three of his limbs in Vietnam, was expected to win fairly well in Georgia, and the incumbent governor was expected to win very much by, I don't know, 10, 11, you know, some nice amount in Georgia. They both lost big, and it was the first year that Georgia had gone to, how are we referring to it, e-voting?
Well, computerized voting encompasses all kinds of vice tallying of the optical scans, too. Touchscreen voting is actually what we usually call it, where there isn't even a paper ballot, so there is no physical evidence of what your vote was. And Georgia had 100% Diebold touchscreen voting, meaning there was no physical evidence of what the vote should have been.
So we're never going to know.
We will never know. And not only that, but we know that the software was changed. It had a last-minute update right before the election in all of the machines, that it wasn't certified, that some guy in Canada made the changes, and the changes that he made affected 1 million votes, and then they overwrote it with something else after the election, so no one will ever know what actually happened. Maybe it was okay, maybe not.
Oh, my gosh. On the day that California decertified, Ireland did too? What happened?
Yes. Actually, we now have three foreign countries who've junked their machines one after the next. Ireland, Venezuela, and the Philippines have all done so. Ireland, on the same day as California, they just absolutely jettisoned their touch screens. The Minister of the Environment is the guy who bought them, and there are raucous calls for his resignation. They said he wasted 50 million euros on something that they badly needed for something else. And like we had the reports here by the scientific agencies, which exposed flaws, Ireland commissioned its own independent report, which, guess what, said there were stunning security flaws.
How come we're not seeing it reported? I'm just getting an email from Mary. She has a question for you. Please ask Bev Harris if she can give Coloradans specific suggestions concerning the current status of our election laws and how to improve them. What can we do, in other words, to protect ourselves from voting fraud in the coming presidential election, let's say?
Well, now you have a wonderful organization there called Count the CountTheVoteColorado.org, I think. So I hope someone calls in with this. You've got a couple of good, strong voting rights activism organizations there that could definitely use your help. If you're in El Paso County, Colorado, you've got Diebold touchscreens. I recommend that if you can, you vote absentee and you actually take the ballot into the elections division and drop it off, not send it through the mail. And there are also concerns with the system in Denver County. It's a Sequoia system, and the Sequoia system has a specific security flaw which enables them to change the ballot so that it records the wrong vote for Spanish language ballots. One of the things that you're going to see more about in the coming months is the problems with the Sequoia voting system.
So give me that again. In the Sequoia voting system, which is what we have in Denver, if there's a Spanish ballot, what happens? You think you're voting for candidate A, but it really gets registered to candidate
B? Well, yes. When they create the ballot, which goes on the touch screen, which is done at the local level by whoever it is, with English ballots, it's just if you vote for Ron inside the machine, it's supposed to go for Ron. And you could change that, but it would be fairly cumbersome. With Spanish language ballots, for some reason, if you vote for Ron on the screen, you have an option when you create the ballot to have it vote for Dave inside. In other words, you can tell it to vote for someone else on a Spanish language ballot. And it's the same flaw does not exist on the English language ballot.
Yeah, but if you are looking at your ballot and it's got John Kerry, let's say, or George Bush, and you go for Kerry,
mm-hmm.
How does the flaw exhibit itself?
You would never see it at all. What it does is it maps the vote inside the machine into the wrong bin.
Oh, I see. So you think you voted for John Kerry.
Oh, yes. The screen
but
will
it routes
tell you,
it.
Yes, you voted for John Kerry.
But it routes it to George Bush.
Or the wrong bin.
Okay. But it routes it to George Bush or whoever.
Right.
Okay, I got you. Now, there are people, I'm sure, who have lots of questions for you, and I'm going to give out the number, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. My guest is Bev Harris. Blackboxvoting.org. She's really the person who knows the most about this whole subject. What can we do in Denver, let's say, if we decide to be sure that our ballots are counted properly? Is the answer to vote absentee and take them in?
Yes. If you've got a touch screen, especially if you are going to vote on a foreign language ballot in Denver, you definitely want to vote absentee. Write it down, be able to verify it yourself and take it in. And that is not, by the way, the greatest option. That what we need to do, and Sequoia is making a machine right now that has a paper ballot that's a touch screen. We need to get that paper ballot in Denver. And I think because of these flaws, it's not inappropriate to ask Sequoia voting systems to pay the cost of retrofitting those machines.
All right, let me ask you, why is getting a paper ballot so necessary? Because in rare instances, is there going to be a recount? They can give you a paper ballot that says one thing. The vote could be rerouted to somebody you didn't even think you were voting for. And how is anybody ever going to know it despite the paper trail?
You're right if they never compare it. And you can't limit use of the paper ballot just for recounts. What you have to do is set up a good, strong way to spot check the paper ballot against the machine. And even that, there is a number of things that need to be done. But the reason the paper ballot is so essential, let's just take the example we just talked about with the Spanish language ballot going to the opposite candidate. Well, now, if you're voting and the ballot comes out for the opposite candidate, you're going to know something is off.
Right.
So at least then you have a physical record of what you voted for that you've verified.
Well, that's assuming that the paper ballot will register exactly where the vote went, but is it possible that the paper ballot, the paper receipt that you get registers what you thought you were voting for, but in fact it goes into the opposite candidate's bin?
Well, first of all, we don't want to call it a receipt. It's a ballot because a ballot does have legal standing, and the ballot needs to be the legal representation of your vote. some of the things that they do in some of the other states that they're proposing that I think are very good, very, you know, not terribly inconvenient. But, for example, you can have it set up for spot checking so that the candidates or a representative of the party selects, say, three precincts for county and says, let's spot check them. It kind of reminds me of a jury pool selection, you know, where they can say, you know, this one, and this one. I want to check those. And they can pick any three they want. And that type of spot checking, the paper ballot, 100% of the paper ballots in a particular precinct against the machines would help a lot because no one would ever know where they're going to be spot checked. And if you make it somewhat something that different representatives of the different party can select, then if there's a suspicious outcome in some county, that's likely to be selected for 100% audit against the machine.
I want to tell you, in Colorado, with Strickland was projected to win just slightly over Allard. There were no big stories. I don't think I saw any stories about the voting machines as the possible cause for the outcome of the election. This is the first I've heard when I saw the Vanity Fair story, and then you're telling me that it was all on the Diebold machines, the first I've heard of it.
Well, I will tell you, when the Vanity Fair reporter began looking into it, and I take my hat off to him, he's a really good investigator, he asked us to put our research team on the Colorado situation, and it was the first time, you know, and he said, tell me about Colorado, and so we put about five researchers on it to take a look and see what they saw, and they did find some situations, but, you know, the problem is 2 years later, so much of the information is just gone. By the way, there's another thing that voters absolutely should do, a couple more things in Colorado. One is at blackboxvoting.org, you can volunteer for the cleanup crew. And what that is a group of citizens who will be participating as poll workers, as election judges, attorneys who are on a hotline, computer people who man a hotline, people who relay information to the press, so you can get very active monitoring. And the other thing is, watch those web reports as they come in. One of the symptoms of diddling with the central tabulator, which is the central computer that counts all the votes, is when you see something come up on the web and then all of a sudden the candidate's total start going down. That happened in Mojave County, Arizona. And those kinds of things are things that we will want to jump on and take a very close look at as quickly as possible.
What does that indicate when suddenly the numbers are starting to go down, that there's some malfunction in the system or recording inaccurately?
And it can indicate that there is someone who's doing something they shouldn't with the central tabulator, which adds up all the votes, because that's where these totals come from.
Okay, now I want to go back to absentee voting. Why is it important to absentee vote in a jurisdiction where there is a touchscreen voting and bring it in? Why can't I not just send my ballot in? Why do I have to physically bring it in?
Well, one of the things we've found is it would be simple to solve this, by the way. What they should do is they should get a receipt from the post office as to how many get mailed in, and then turn them over to the elections division and compare and make sure the same number gets turned over. Many of the larger urban areas are outsourcing the sorting of the incoming absentee ballots. In other words, you send it into the post office turns it over to a middleman who then sorts them and then turns them over to the elections division. And nobody compares the counts along the way. Now,
we're not sure that as many have been sent in as wind up being tallied. But then, how are you sure that they tally them in the right columns?
Oh, for absentee.
Yeah. Are you sure that your vote for Kerry, let's say, gets tallied for Kerry and not for Bush?
Well, with the you bring up a good point, because the way that they do the absentee ballots, well, you've only got one, you've got less attack points than you do with the touchscreen. You still have the problem of it gets run through an optical scan machine, and people don't generally look at the paper ballot. They only rely on what the machine says. So, again, you need to have a good, robust spot check of what the machine says with what the paper ballots say. But first you need to make sure that all the paper ballots actually get in, because you see how easy it would be to tamper with absentee ballots by just disappearing some in key precincts when they're in that middleman
stage. Is this sort of a minimum wage job, this outsourcing?
Oh, not just that, but they hire people straight out of prison. One the main company that does it hired we know at least two convicted felons right out of prison, and not that, you know, well, again, and, you know, they didn't have any videos, tape or anything. It was just basically, you know, bring these guys in. Nobody checks what's going on in there while they're sorting those ballots.
We'll give you a higher minimum wage than the company is paying you, and we want a certain outcome. Wait a minute. My guess is Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. I'm going to give you the numbers and more as we continue. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Bev, can you hang with us a little
sure.
bit? Thank you very much. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to The Horrors of Touchscreen Voting and What We Need to Be Vigilant About. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Hush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, The Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150, KNRC. Hear the week's business news with the Ron Asana Show. Brought to you in part by Integra Financial. Call 303-220-5525. Ron Asana, noon till 3 Sundays. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Tune in Saturday mornings from 10 to noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Denver Skin Aesthetics. Denver skincare experts offering Botox and Restylane. Style Matters entertains you each week with the latest in fashion and style. Hosted by Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman of the Style Matters column in the Rocky Mountain News. Listen to Style Matters each Saturday from 10 to noon, sponsored by Denver Skin Aesthetics. Denver skincare experts.
I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks finished higher today. The Dow gained 88 points. That's near the highs for the session. Finished the day at 10,314, while the NASDAQ rose nearly 19 points to close at 1938. What's interesting about this is tomorrow the Fed meets, and it is presumed that they will talk about raising short-term interest rates at some point, something the stock market doesn't like traditionally. But we got this rally today nonetheless. One of Wall Street's superstars during the internet stock bubble has been convicted of obstructing justice and witness tampering. Frank Quattrone was found guilty on all three counts he faced today for sending an email encouraging colleagues at Credit Suisse First Boston to destroy files. That while a federal investigation of the bank was taking place. And HealthSouth has a new president and CEO. Jay McGrinney will head the healthcare giant as it tries to recover from massive accounting fraud scandal. The Dow today up 88 points to start off the month of May, with the NASDAQ up 18. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
In a perfect world, your kids would clean up after you. And soccer mom would mean playing for the women's national team. But the world isn't perfect, and that's why there's Walgreens, with everything Dad and the kids need to make Mother's Day as perfect as can be, like Hallmark cards, chocolates, perfume, and massagers. That's life. This is Walgreens.
How do you help keep health care affordable? By teaming up with physicians and their patients to find new ways to care for chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. That's what many local Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are doing to reduce medical complications and unnecessary costs. Harvard Medical School has recognized this is a promising way to improve quality and control the rising cost of health care. Learn more at bcbs.com. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association is an association of independent Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies.
I really don't want to give my name. I'm a regional manager. I do love that Enid Goldstein. A mission to Mars, Mr. Bush? If there's any extra money in the budget, I think we should create a U.S. grant for hotness myself.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
What shall we do with the union hater? What shall we do with the labor baiter? What shall we do with the legislator who tried to bust the union?
Get out the vote and snow him under. Get out the vote and snow him under. Get out the vote and snow him under on election morning.
What shall we do with the politician? What shall we do with the politician? What shall we do with the gentleman who killed the minimum wage bill?
Put him on a job at 40 cents per. Put him on a job at 40 cents per. Put him on a job at 40 cents per. 40 cents per hour.
What shall we do with the men in Congress? What shall we do?
229 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. That's really wonderful. Thank you, Jordan. My guest, Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. We're talking about how not to hijack the election. Bev, as we were talking, you said you had some specific things for Coloradans to do. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. What specifically can we do? We can take our ballots in. And we don't want to send them by mail. We want to physically bring them in. Is that, will that
right.
avoid the felons from counting the?
That will help.
Okay.
Yeah. That will help. And there's, you know, there's always different things people can do, which what you try to do is, you know, get rid of the most obvious ones. The other thing is to start demanding, because this is something that doesn't take time or cost money, start demanding that the Elections Division require a receipt from the post office of the number of incoming absentee ballots and compare them with what they get. That's so simple. There's no reason for them not to do that. And that would take care of a lot of that, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. But what about the whole issue of touchscreen voting in general and its accuracy? How can we require a ballot, you know, paper ballot trail? Or what do we even need these touchscreen voting
votes for? Good question.
What was wrong with the old system? It was cheaper and it seemed to be more effective.
Well, what you're going to hear things from the disability groups, because the touchscreens can be friendlier to folks with disabilities, but that doesn't mean they don't need to print out a piece of paper. I mean, you know, if you have a muscular problem, it may be easier to vote on a touchscreen, but you also want to have a piece of paper that vote that verifies what your vote is. And for those who are visually impaired, actually a standard book reader, if they make a ballot that is compatible with that, is probably a better option than a touchscreen, because it does have a paper ballot, and then you can also vote in the privacy of your home if you can't drive, which if you're visually impaired is a real concern. But you're going to get a lot of static from the disability groups who are saying that we need a touch screen, and they seem to forget we don't need a touch screen with no paper ballot. They just keep saying that we need one. And they also, this is my favorite excuse, well, what if the paper ballot that the voter verifies doesn't match what the machine says? Believe it or not, they use that as an excuse not to have a paper ballot. I would say if the paper ballot that we verify doesn't match what's in the touch screen, I guess we have a problem.
I guess
we
do have a problem. That's right. But, I mean, where was the push? Was it from the Diebold, besides the disability community? Well, how is it that everything got, you know, states, whole states converted? Was it a frenzy, of a high-tech frenzy, that somehow this is a superior way of doing it? You talked about how the fix was in with election officials and how Diebold and companies like Diebold recruit election officials, former election officials, to lobby their former colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get some kind of percentage remuneration?
Well, they get very, very high salaries. For example, the former Denver Elections Commissioner, Michael Frontera, bought millions of dollars worth of touchscreens and immediately went out and got a very wonderful paying job with Sequoia, who he had just bought machines from.
How much are they paying him?
I don't know how much he's getting, but I can tell you that some of the salesmen for Sequoia are getting amazing, amazing salaries. One salesman in Florida earned $500,000, and he was actually suing the company because he said they stiffed him out of another $1.7 million, and that was for basically 3 months' work. You're talking about $2.2
million. Wow.
So one of the things that, you see, it's really tricky, because you'll get a public official in, they'll buy a specific vendor's voting machines, then go take a position from that vendor, but they don't have to disclose how much that position is for. And now, in many states, that's an ethics violation. In Washington State, our Secretary of State left
you know, stepped down as Secretary of State, and like 2 days later took a position. He's now the chairman of a voting company.
Usually there's a period of time where you can't do it.
That's
you have
right.
a 6 month or a year.
What we are finding is that in many cases they are shortcutting that, but the only penalty for them ignoring those ethics requirements is they might get an ethics investigation, which they can settle privately, and they sometimes settle for as little as $5,000. So it's not much of a risk. Sequoia, in particular, tends to hire its own regulators all the time. And you said a mouthful because we need to know what exactly is the mechanism for how some of these officials are getting so bamboozled. Are they bamboozled, or what is their intention?
I mean, why did the whole state of Georgia suddenly go to e-voting? And then Max Cleland, I mean, what? There was a fix in somewhere at some level, and how did that happen? And by the way, I just got emailed from one of you, and if you want to call with questions, if you're concerned about it, because it's not quite on the radar in Colorado. It's beginning to get onto the radar, but we're really the only ones on radio discussing it to any great extent here, the whole issue of touchscreen voting. I haven't seen much in the papers here. 303-382-1150, but there are several organizations definitely involved. Coloradans for Voting Integrity,
yes.
CF, as in Frank, V as in Victor, I.org. And then there's Citizens for Verifiable Voting, and that's in Boulder, ColoradoVoter.net. So those are three different places.
Yes, thank you for that, because I know that we have some great groups there in Colorado, and they can really help you. By the way, Arapahoe County, Colorado. Here's something not many people talk about when they rush out to buy these. Arapahoe County had to pay $100,000 for toxic waste problems because of some of their touchscreen stuff. There's a new organization, a national organization.
Wait. How did it happen that the touchscreen stuff created a toxic waste problem?
I would have to read more about it, and I was just going to give the web address where there is more information on that. There's a web address called votersunite.org, and they have a really interesting white paper called Mythbreakers, and in that it has the citations for that story and the details on the Arapahoe County money wasting due to touch screens.
Well, Arapahoe County, wasn't that Tracy Baker and that whole scandal? There was a huge scandal there, and I think it was Arapahoe County with Tracy Baker, an election official who was sending salacious emails to his lover, even though he was married. And now I think they're all trying to find jobs with these kind of, these touchscreen operations. I don't know, but there's something along those lines.
I think the next big juicy investigation, read between the lines as to what I'll be doing this summer, is going to be on procurement issues. How the heck did we get these things crammed down our
throat? Isn't 60 Minutes interviewing you or 2020 or all of those operations? Because here's the thing. We've got an extremely divided country, the reds and the blues. We have a very, very, very close, by all accounts, election coming up. And everybody wants to feel, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that your vote was fairly counted.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a contest fought fair and square. And with this e-voting and all the possibilities for error, and I know that Johns Hopkins has done studies citing the troubling software, the state of Maryland, the state of Maryland I don't think is going to use these, are they?
Oh, yes, they are. This is the baffling thing. The state of Maryland commissioned two studies. Both studies said it was just god-awful, basically, software.
And they're still
using
it? And
they decided to go ahead.
Why? Because they spent
That's why I believe we need to start investigating that side of it. It doesn't make any sense. Because look what politicians usually do. When something becomes very controversial, what do? They form a task force, right?
Yeah.
And study the issue.
Right.
No, we're not seeing that here. This... You can have, for example, California just decertified the touchscreen, the Diebold TSH touchscreen, and referred Diebold for criminal prosecution. And Ohio is running off and recommending that we buy the exact machine that California just decertified.
Ohio.
Now, when you see stuff like that, you need to look a little deeper.
Well, Diebold is headquartered in Ohio, is it not? And the head of Diebold has committed to reelecting George W. Bush, and no Republican president has ever been elected president without bringing in Ohio. Ohio is critical to
Ohio is a hugely important state, and they're right now right in the middle of their purchasing decisions. And it is, I just talked to somebody in Athens, Ohio, And I was going over this with him. I said, well, this is the very system you're talking about spending your millions on was just decertified because it was so massively flawed. And criminal charges were filed. And they said, oh, yes, but it's an Ohio company.
Oh no.
And I just want to go.
Why don't people in Ohio wake up? They don't have jobs anyway. They might as well get involved with volunteering. All right. Eric emails me. I'm to ask you again why you're not on 60 Minutes or shows like that. And you were about to answer.
Oh, yes. Well, I've actually been talking with the producers behind the scenes on these shows for quite a while. We did have something on, there was something on Nightline a while back, and 60 Minutes in 2020 has been kind of nibbling at the story for almost a year now. And it'll happen. It's a question of when it's going to happen. And
is 60 Minutes going to do it?
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure all of the news media, they're all interested. Dan Rather's folks are in touch on a kind of a regular basis, as are all the networks now and CNN. So they know it's a story. The problem the news media has, I'll tell you, is this. It's such a huge story. It's like Watergate, where there's so many aspects. It's like, where do I jump in? What angle do I work on first? Do I work on why they're buying these machines? Do I work on how easy they are to hack? Do I work on a particular state that has a problem? You know, and now we have countries all over the world deciding they don't want these machines. I have an unconfirmed report, but it's from a very good source, that we are going to be shipping these touchscreens to Afghanistan and Iraq. And now, why doesn't that surprise me?
Oh, what a surprise. Oh, I'm so surprised.
And I am awaiting the paperwork on that. The word is it's a no-bid contract.
Oh, well, what another surprise. Oh, I can't believe that. A no-bid contract. Isn't as they used to say when they were selling you the pocket fisherman, isn't that amazing?
Yes. So, you see, really, and I'm not kidding, this is a problem, because I can't tell you how many TV news is, you know, we want it short and sweet and simple, and this is not that kind of a story. And so I keep telling them that they've got to just bite off a part of it and do that part very well, because it's not really possible to cover the whole issue in all its ramifications without a mini-series at this point.
Well, we have some people who want to ask you a couple of questions, and we have to take a news break. So let's do that, and if you can hang with us,
sure.
we'll get to the questions. My guest, Bev Harris, this is a scandal. You just have to get involved with this, blackboxvoting.org, and she has a website of the same name. I'm Enid Goldstein. You can ask a question, 303-382-1150.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
2:41, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny and 79 degrees. Some CSAF scores were released today. I'll have that story in a moment. First, though, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Couple of freeway problems right now working. One is an accident. No injuries involved, thankfully. Westbound I-70 at Monaco Street. They're still trying to get a Denver police officer to get in there and clean that one up. Also, a report of a stall blocking the right shoulder. Southbound I-25 about Downing Street could cause you a little bit of a visual slowdown there. 14th and Sheridan. A lot of police equipment on the scene there investigating a robbery at a gas station. And 80th and Kipling there in Arvada. Watch for a family of ducks that's trying to decide whether to cross the street or not. You're older, you're wiser, and, yep, you can be a little richer, too. Call 303-299-6000 to learn about the RTD half-price senior discount. RTD, drive less and save more. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
CSAP reading scores for third graders were released today. The numbers show a mixed bag. While three-quarters of the state's third graders scored proficient or advanced, there are still some 14,000 third graders who aren't proficient in reading. This report brought to you by the History Channel. A fight that broke out on South Federal last night as Cinco de Mayo festivities were drawing to a close. That fight led to a 12-year-old boy being shot in the ankle. He was taken to Denver Health in fair condition. Police still looking for the suspect, who's described as an Hispanic male about 18 years old with pierced eyebrows and ears, has blonde streaks in his hair. Suspect fled the scene in a white four-door, possibly a Chevy Cavalier with silver rims. An Inglewood police officer shot a man in the chest early this morning after the man refused to obey orders and lunged at the officer. Police responded to reports of a man choking a boy, and when they arrived, they say the man was hitting his 7-year-old son. 36-year-old Andrew Montoya was listed in serious condition this morning. The boy received only minor injuries. Police say Montoya has a criminal record and is on parole. They say he had been drinking at the time of last last night's incident. Technology, it's how the West was really won. Wild West Tech, hosted by Keith Carradine tonight at 8, Brothel Tech, only on the History Channel. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:44.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Take advantage of great low mortgage rates today. Call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package that is custom-tailored for your individual needs. A recent customer had this to say.
I got burned by another mortgage company. They made promises that simply didn't follow through. Then I called Western State Mortgage and they consolidated my debt at a much lower rate. And now I'm saving over $800 per month. I should have called Western State Mortgage first.
You too can lower your mortgage payment by literally hundreds of dollars per month. Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad, and if they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. Call them at 888-617-5255. That's 888-617-5255. Equal housing lender.
Mostly sunny skies through the rest of the afternoon. Clear skies tonight. We'll cool off to around 50 tonight. Lots of sun tomorrow. High temperature up in the mid-80s. Mostly sunny and 79 now. KNRC News Time is 2:45. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
Talk to Enid Goldstein.
Kerry, people, if you want those Republicans who are about ready to jump ship to come to you, you have got to give them a reason for voting. And John Kerry, carrying on this sclerotic campaign, way too timid, having voted for the war, which I'm trying to forget that he did, because I believe he will bring at least better judicial appointments, this will be one of those major ways that he will be better.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. He's president of the National Organization for Men.
This is getting scary.
He's the local chapter head of PETA, People Who Eat Tasty Animals.
Knucklehead.
He's bucking for president of Halliburton.
I'm here to make sure you don't say anything controversial.
Doug Kellett, afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
That's strange goings on.
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
The county first used electronic voting in last month's primaries. However, voters ended up receiving the wrong ballot. Brett Rowley of the Orange County Registrar of Voters says the problem wasn't with the machines, but with the training of poll workers after voting precincts were consolidated.
Some folks missed that they were going to have multiple precincts and had an issue with scrolling on the system to pull up the proper access code.
Kelly will also decide whether San Diego, Kern, and San Joaquin County should use e-voting machines. In Santa Ana, I'm Mike Morris.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:48 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. My guest is Bev Harris. Her website and also the book, blackboxvoting.org, Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 21st Century. She really is the go-to person on all this touchscreen voting and why we ought to be very wary of it and how dangerous actually it could be. Bev, we have a number of people who want to talk to you. So let's get right to the phones. Deanna, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid and Bev Harris on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I just wanted to compliment Bev Harris. I
appreciate all you have done for democracy. You have really made a valuable contribution.
Well, now we just have to win this battle, huh?
Yes. Deanna. Well, that was, you anticipated my next question. I am with Coloradans for Voter Integrity.
Wonderful.
And we are trying to get a resolution on a Democratic platform for verifiable voting.
Yes.
And I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to be put on the state platform. But what I was wondering is, what else can we do to really get a movement going for this important issue?
Yeah, the biggest thing is we need to all keep getting the word out on shows like what with Enid here. This is just so valuable what she's doing. And keep working on the press, because they are coming around, you know. Keep working on your newspaper reporters and so forth to cover it. And by all means, email me your information, your contact information. Once again, I want to get you guys listed up on the website so that people from Colorado can find you easily. And all of the, there's two or three really good organizations in Colorado. So I think it's a combination of having people have someplace to go, because it is a local battle, you know. It's not something that a national organization can do for local areas, as you know.
Okay, so all right, Deanna, then you've got to get your information to Bev Harris, and you're a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
We have something for you. There you go.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for all the good work that you're doing as well. And let's head over to Golden. John, hi, you're live with Enid and Bev Harris on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm also with Coloradans for Voting Integrity. I'm not as well versed in arguing the points as some of the guys that put the group together, but I just wanted to let you know that I did see on CBS, NBC, and ABC, they each did a special on the problems with the machines, and they also showed guys how they were able to vote multiple times, go into the box and change the smart card and vote multiple times.
Right.
But those pieces were done, and we would like to get a hold of a copy. I tried getting calling Channel 9 and trying to get something from them. They sent me on to New York, and I got lost there. We would like to get a hold of one of those tapes, because when I faced somebody that was a little more knowledgeable than me, they likened us to the conspiracy theorists.
Oh, yeah, that's the big talking point. Well, I'll tell you what, the book, Black Box Voting, and it's free online, chapter by chapter. You can download it at blackboxvoting.org, but it's designed for ammunition. Basically, that's what, you know, you could write anything you want on this topic because there's so much to write, but I wrote it with, it's got 328 footnotes. It's got very good citations, and so it gives you the ammunition to go in and argue, because they come up with essentially the same 12 talking points over and over. So once you can whip those talking points, you can win the arguments.
John, I thank you very much
for
the call. Also, I've gotten all these emails, and let's see. James says, Enid, I attended on the rally on the Capitol steps, ColoradoVoting.org, and the issue was that Donetta Davidson had 2,700 faxes sent to her asking to look into the voting machines used in Colorado. She shut her machine off, and they hand-carried the votes into her office. Please get this message out as to who represents California, Colorado voters. Thanks,
right.
Jim.
You know, there's a small group of election officials nationwide that's driving this bus toward unauditable voting, and Donetta is one of them. I would say, it's a handful of only about 10 people.
Why is she driving the bus? What is she getting out of it?
This is where we need to go next, is what is causing these officials to behave the way they are?
Because you're going to have to look.
It actually doesn't make sense, and they're not responsive. There's a quote on my website right now in the lead story, and it talks about an official who is not responsive, doesn't listen, is arrogant, just, you know, doesn't pay attention. It happens to be the guy in Ireland they're trying to fire right now, but it could apply to a lot of people.
All right, Donetta Davidson, we're going to look into that. And also, from Doug, and we have to do this very quickly because we don't have much time, please ask Bev about the Patriot Act being used to harass blackboxvoting.org. Are you being harassed?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Well, I'm on a gag order right now, believe it or not.
What aren't you supposed to talk about?
I hope to have something this week, because I've asked my lawyer to, whatever else he does, ungag me, find a way, because this is getting absolutely over the top and ridiculous.
From the Justice Department?
Yes.
And why, without revealing and getting yourself into the soup, on the issue of voting, is why does this have anything to do with the Patriot Act?
Oh, it's a giant fishing expedition.
Wow. All right.
Giant fishing expedition want the names of everybody involved and every correspondence.
Having to do with your blackboxvoting.org?
Yes.
I can't believe this. This is horrible.
It's got to stop. This kind of stuff is just absolutely got to stop. I'll stop there, too.
Okay. When you are able to talk about it, can we talk again?
You better believe it.
All right, let us know.
I am so raring to go.
Bev Harris, when you're able to talk, and we'll be checking in with you, too, as we get closer to the election, we'll continue to check in. And anytime you have information, we want to hear it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bev, thank you. We know we stream live, so we have a national audience and presumably an international one, and maybe a few people on Mars are listening, too, for all we know.
Radio. I know. You guys have a powerful show, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Radio waves never die, so they're reverberating in the universe. Bev Harris, thank you for all the good work that you do.
Thank you.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, and we have two tickets to give away. Be the third caller, 303-382-1150, and you win them to Gary Hart's lecture tomorrow night. I'll be introducing him, Hudson Gardens, 7 o'clock. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Be the third caller, and you'll get a free pair of tickets, 303-382-1150.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Quest Choice Business. Your business line plus any five features for just $39.99 a month. Over 100,000 small businesses have already signed up for Quest Choice Business. Shouldn't you?
NBC Tonight, another Fear Factor first.
Yeah!
Second Chance Fear Factor. The most famous losers are back.
That girl is an animal!
But this time, someone's actually gonna win. Then, the amazing conclusion of the NBC miniseries event, 10.5.
Help is on the way.
Another earthquake could destroy the West Coast. Be there when the big one hits. The conclusion of 10.5 after Second Chance Fear Factor, NBC Tonight.
The Hudson Gardens and Events Center welcomes former U.S. Senator Gary Hart to the continuing lecture series on Tuesday, May 4th at 7 p.m. A Renaissance man of new ideas, Hart is co-chair of the U.S. Commission on National Security for the 21st Century. Hudson Gardens and Events Center is located at 6115 South Santa Fe Drive in Littleton, just south of Bowles Avenue. Tickets are $6 and can be purchased via phone at 303-797-8565, extension 321, or online at www.hudsongardens.org.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:57 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And then, who's taking over? Doug Kellett from 3 to 6 right here on where are you? AM 1150. If anybody asks you, where are you? You have to know where you are. It's our own global positioning system. You're on 1150 AM. And congratulations to Bernadette from Englewood for winning two tickets tomorrow night to the Gary Hart lecture at Hudson Gardens, and I will be doing the introduction, and undoubtedly he won't want to speak after that. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding about that. If you're just tuning in, we have really talked about a lot of different things today. We have been all over the place. We start out with James Turney. We went into Dick Cheney's, Chicken Hawk Cheney's five deferments. I love his line. He said, if he had been drafted, he would have been happy to serve, but he did everything he could to keep from getting drafted. Five deferments, including having a child like 9 months later to the day, 9 months and 2 days later. So here's what's up. Tomorrow we are going to be joined by Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! She has a huge following, and you could hear her, and then she got into some kind of a beef with Pacifica Radio, but maybe she'll talk about that. She has a brand new book out called The Exception to the Rulers, Exposing Oily Politicians, War Profiteers, and the Media That Love Them, and she will be live with us tomorrow in studio. And tomorrow night I will be introducing Gary Hart at Hudson Gardens, and you can call for tickets. And that's 303-797-8565. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for doing a wonderful job. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for doing a wonderful job. And thanks to all of you who called and listened. Let's do it again tomorrow, noon to 3. We'll have lunch together, okay? And I hope none of us will be eating crow for lunch. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Clean up some mess. Volunteer. You'll live longer. All the rest of us will, too. Doug Kellett up next. I'm Enid Goldstein. See you tomorrow at noon.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Siegenthaler. Former American hostage Thomas Hamel arrived at Ramstein Air Base in Germany earlier today, a day after escaping from his Iraqi captors. A military spokesman said he was in good shape.
Mr. Hamel had a gunshot wound to his right forearm. He appeared to be in overall good health, but he was rendered medical aid by the soldiers on the scene.
Hamel is expected to be reunited with his wife tomorrow. Seven more U.S. soldiers have been reprimanded for allegedly abusing Iraqi prisoners, and more may be charged. A spokesman says President Bush is urging Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to make sure proper punishment is meted out for what the White House is calling shameful and appalling acts. Wall Street closed higher today with the Dow up 88 points. The S&P added 10. The NASDAQ rose 18.5 points. Investors were encouraged by earnings reports and a jump in construction spending. I'll see you later on CNBC. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
If you use Tylenol arthritis pain, ask your doctor about better pain relief with Aleve. Clinical studies on some of the toughest pain prove two Aleve work better than two Tylenol arthritis. And Aleve can last for 12 hours. Aleve. Doctor recommended, proven better. And for sinus